Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what it's about you, but I can't even stand your voice.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Hey, what's going on, gang? Good afternoon. Hi there. Greetings. Welcome, welcome. Good afternoon. What's going on? My name's Alan Cox. Thanks for being here. That is my real name. There was a conversation being had earlier out there in the suite with some salespeople who were shocked to find out that there are some people in radio on the talent side who don't use their real names. And apparently some of our younger sales staff were just blown away by that. You think if you've grown up with the likes of PewDiePie, figure it out. Nevertheless, say hi to Bill Squire, also his real name, sitting right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of the Alan Cox Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. Cold one with the boys.
Mary Santora is here.
Hi, guys. What's up?
The Mary Santora.
Also my real name.
And Pound Cake, want to take a guess, is back in Studio G.
Afternoon, white people.
Well, we all know your real name, Cody Helpful Brown.
Yeah.
Cody Allen Helpful Brown. And if you'd like to join us on the phone, boy, none of us would argue with that. 216-578-1007, 800-348-1007, 35192 if you want to send me a text. I'll see those there. If you listen on the iHeartRadio app, there's a little talk back button there. You can leave us quick messages as well. Some J-Dubs out here on the corner. Did you see the Jehovah's Witnesses?
No.
Oh, yeah?
Back here at Euclid and 9th.
What are you calling them J-Dubs?
J-Dubs.
I've never heard that before.
I just made it up. They might want to adopt that, by the way, though, if they're trying to get down with the kids. Well, I was doing my pre-show lap, and a couple of guys are standing there, appropriately diverse, white guy and a black guy, and they're standing there behind a thing. They're right next to the guy at the weenie cart on Wednesdays. A guy down here on the northwest corner of Euclid 9th got a weenie cart out there. And he's selling his wares. And across the sidewalk from that are, you know, a couple of steps away, a couple of guys that are standing there behind a thing that says free Bible lesson or free Bible course or something. First of all, that sounds redundant. There's no way anybody should be charging for anything like that. Nevertheless, these guys, and I almost walked up to them to see what they were doing, because I figured that would be more shocking than everyone walking by them all day long. They're out there, either putting in their time, they're trying to do whatever that, what do they call that, Mary? What do they call that when proselytizing? I mean, they're not out there reading from the Bible. What do they call that when they're trying to,
you're trying
proselyting.
To get recruitment? Yeah, you're proselyting.
Proselytizing. I've never heard that word.
Well, proselytizing, I always think of somebody standing on the corner screaming from the Bible, the end is nigh, that kind of thing. These guys are just standing there talking to each other, not causing any problems.
I know what you're trying to
and
say.
And the only reason I knew it was Jehovah's Witnesses is because they had a website on their sign. It said JW.org, and that's Jehovah's Witnesses. And but
that's what we would do as Mormons, is proselytizing.
Conversion.
No, not conversion.
Well, conversion comes from proselytizing.
Proselytizing leads to conversion. That's right.
To recruit. Yeah. See, that's not the word we use, though.
Well, that's why I was asking you, because in the evangelical community, it's called something else. Not outreach, not fellowship. It's, I don't know, who cares? But they were out there. And again, like, I wasn't going to be a dick, like, but I was, there was enough of me that was curious as to, like, what they were offering. If I said, hey, what's going on out here? And, you know, but I'm sure they're on there. They probably have a little bit of a, you know, they're probably on the lookout for jagoffs like me walking around too. And I didn't see anybody talking to them, but you know, I
sir, do you know you are a jagoff, and I call that without birthdays and Christmas,
right? Or serving in the military.
Mm.
So I wasn't so curious as I was going to stop down and start chatting these guys up. But yeah, they're standing there in suits, and usually when people think of Jehovah's Witnesses, they think of the young bucks who come door to door. And there's a great, because now everybody has a Ring camera on their door. There's all kinds of video that will go viral from people's homes, because you can easily bring it up on an app. If you want to share it, you certainly can. And there's no barriers to entry for people who want to throw their video all over the place. And there's a great video that goes around every so often of these two Jehovah's Witnesses, typical young guys in the suits and ties, walking up. And the the welcome mat at this particular house, and you only know this because the owners put it in the caption, the welcome mat is the gayest house in the neighborhood. And so you see these two guys walk up, knock on the door, and then while they're waiting, you can see them look down, and then they just kind of walk away. They're like, okay, well, this is not going to be the person that we're probably looking for. I always think of Prince. Prince was a Jehovah's Witness. Was Michael Jackson's family Jehovah's Witnesses, Pound Cake?
They were.
So, yeah, I don't know what that has to do with if there's any connection between that and performance. I guess I could have asked these guys about Prince and Michael Jackson, but it didn't.
How much do you think they know, though?
Didn't spring to mind. I'd certainly
is that part
hope,
of their training.
Well,
famous Jehovah's.
How many famous Jehovah's Witnesses? I would think that these guys would know chapter and verse, if you'll pardon the pun, on MJ and Prince.
I mean, up until, I mean, not recently, but like still when Michael Jackson was a big star, his mom was still going door to door knocking on people's doors trying to recruit them. So if I saw Michael Jackson's mom at my door trying to recruit me for Jehovah's Witness, I don't know, I might convert.
Right. If anybody follows, speaking of Michael Jackson, there's a great photo series on YouTube today. I put part of it in my story on Instagram. Street Art Globe is a great follow. And somebody did a photo series called As If Nothing Happened, where they used AI and a little bit of artistic magic to age celebrities who died young. So there's Princess Diana. I posted Freddie Mercury. There's Kurt Cobain. There's Elvis. If these people had lived long and prosperous and healthy lives, Jimi Hendrix with a huge old man's fro, Michael Jackson's in there with like a 70s mustache. It's pretty wild. I don't know if this thing's making the rounds. I saw it on the Street Art Globe Instagram account. Freddie Mercury, boy, if this guy had lived and had looked like this, holy mackerel. This guy'd be on, you know, he'd be an old Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, mm-hmm. He'd be from an old band called Queen, and he would have been, who knows, he might have, in an alternate universe, might have outlived the other guys. It might be Brian May who was dead. And Freddie Mercury, who was out there in his suspenders and his ascot. This is what I would like for Pound Cake, because we joke about how he's going to die at 35. But I happen to think that he's going to beat the eternal wisdom of the Ouija board and live a long, prosperous life. And I'd like to see you become an old, dapper, you know, where you're wearing like the ascot and you've got the big collared shirts. That's what I would like.
So you want me to be like
new style.
You want me to be like how fancy dresses now?
I don't know how fancy dresses now.
Well, that's why we call them fancy, because that's the type of stuff he wears.
I see. Well, then, by all means, yeah.
I can't think of this friggin' word, and it's driving me nuts. Because they used to tell us to go do it in church. Make sure you're doing. I text up my brothers; they'll know. But if they say proselytize.
By the way, that attention to accuracy, the Mormons were the ones that saw that doormat and went away.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know Mormons went door to door.
What are you talking about? That's what I did.
Well, you went to the Philippines.
Yeah, but that's what they do here.
You guys
that's
will
what
go
your
door.
Mission is.
I've never had Mormons come to the door. I've had plenty of Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door.
No, Mormons go door to door. My brother did it in Eugene, Oregon. My other brother did it in Germany, and then I did it in the Philippines. My dad did it in Denmark.
Well done. Yeah. Are there ever like fights over turf? I mean, how do they coordinate
it's assigned.
That?
I mean, everybody's got their.
No, but I mean between Jehovah's between the J-Dubs and the LDS.
No, there's not really
when you're rejected
any success anyway. Okay. So it doesn't really matter.
There's a hierarchy. Yeah.
So knife fights.
No.
All right.
There weren't any Jehovah's Witnesses in the Philippines, but in
wasn't for lack of trying.
Witnessing. Yeah. You go and you witness to people.
You're probably right.
That's what it is. You go out and they tell you
Ford did it in 82.
You should always be witnessing. So everyone you come in contact with.
ABW. Yes. Always be witnessing.
You should be witnessing to them your story of how great God is.
Put that coffee them. Down.
That's what
coffee it is for witnesses.
He's been called a waste of space before. But now it's official. Alan Cox.
To occupy the city.
100.7 WMMS.
Maybe those Jehovah's Witnesses have been playing this out there. Maybe they would have gotten some people walking over there to testify, to witness, to whatever.
I say that on stage sometimes.
Testify.
If people shout out for no reason or they try to heckle, I'm like, hell yeah, testify. And
that's
just keep,
right.
Just keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
The first Sunday of every month, it was Fast Sunday. So you would fast from dinner on Saturday night till lunch on like Sunday. You'd like fast two meals, and there would be, it was called testimony meeting. So everybody in the ward, in the congregation, would go up and, not everybody, like whoever felt moved by the Spirit would mm-hmm. go up there and share their, you know, basically their reasons for believing, and they'd tell some story, like, oh, I went to the store, and I was out of money, blah, 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 but then I remembered that so-and-so gave me this gift card, and I was so blessed to have it. Some dumb thing like that.
And they wait until you haven't had food for 24 hours and you're not thinking straight.
Mm-hmm. You know, the longer that you, I was thinking that, the longer that you don't eat, you're weak with hunger and your brain is just starting to.
It's connecting dots.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. You're just going all and wild.
The thing was, our parents would always be like, remember, it's Fast Sunday, so don't eat, you know, and we wouldn't eat. But as soon as they went to bed.
Oh, yeah.
We would just go to town. I did not fast, maybe. No, I don't think I ever really fasted for church because I was just like, this seems so dumb.
What is the point of fasting?
It was to have sacrifice? Some sort of like, yeah, sacrifice.
Deprive and, yourself of yeah. worldly pleasures.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Lame.
It was supposed to be a spiritual thing, but when you're not a spiritual person in any way, it just never made any sense to me.
But I like chips.
Yeah, I'm like, do you want me to be angry fast, because that's what you're going to get.
Right.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, John?
It is a pleasure to talk to you, Mr. Cox.
Hey, same here. What's going on?
I'm a long-time listener. This is my first time calling. I usually only call if I think I can make the show a little bit better, because I don't want to waste your time. But I heard that you were talking about Jehovah's Witnesses, and I would be happy to be your listener that is also a Jehovah's Witness correspondent. I was a Jehovah's Witness for the first 30 years of my life. I am now what's called disfellowshipped, or most people would just call it shunned. But I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
So you, much like Elder Squire over here, you were excommunicated from the flock?
Yes, we LDS and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and there's a lot of other cults that overlap in a lot of practices. But yes, I am shunned from my family. They, my mother especially, will not talk to me now. She might want to, but she is, you know, basically almost quote unquote required to turn her back on
this
me.
This is what I were dead. This is what I think is so awful about people who find themselves in John's situation. You know, Bill still has a relationship with his family. It's not rooted in their religion. But, you know, if you watch documentaries on Scientology, is very much like that too, where, you know, if you leave that religion, it's so incumbent upon you to kind of chart your own path, and you don't believe in it anymore or whatever, you're leaving your flesh and blood family behind. You're not just leaving like other congregants behind. You're leaving family behind, which cannot be easy.
That's why there are so many people that are stuck. You know, there's a lot of ex-Jehovah's Witness activists that, you know, and they have acronyms. They call it PIMO, physically in, mentally out, where basically you're physically in because you're keeping up appearances, but you're mentally checked out because you don't want to lose your family, your mate.
Yeah.
Perhaps you work with witnesses, so your livelihood is in danger.
What precipitated you taking that? What caused you to cut the cord finally, John?
It was a series of events. There was no come to Jesus moment, so to speak, but it was just a lot of, you know, the cognitive dissonance just kept piling up, and it was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm just living a lie.
Did you leave a wife or anything like that?
Well, I'll try to make this as succinct as possible, sir. So, in the Jehovah's Witnesses beliefs, the only provision for a scriptural divorce is adultery, and there was no adultery committed.
Oh,
so
okay.
we got a disillusionment in the eyes of Ohio.
I was going to say, I thought maybe, I thought John was going to describe the greatest way to get out of a religious marriage ever.
I had to have an orgy.
Well, I had to have a bunch of people over to my house. And this is for you, Lord. I'm doing this for you. Yeah. So you're a single guy now and you're out there on the prowl.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I still have the same values.
Yeah.
Basically, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that once you leave the confines of the religion that you're going to go crazy and be a Satan worshiper and,
sure,
you know, get STDs and be a drug addict. And I have the same values and religion, you know, beliefs. I just don't go.
There's no longer tied to them. Yeah.
He's not out there trying to get STDs.
No. Well, right. Good for you, man. That's a really difficult thing to do. And it's a lot to give up. But to do it for someone, you know, to actually take that step is admirable, man. And I think that's very hard to do, and
it's a
I'm impressed.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
it's
wild
a tough
story.
Thing to do for sure. I just want to help other people, you know, come to that conclusion for the, you know, themselves to start thinking critically and think for yourself.
So
take control of your life.
John, when you say you have the same values, are you still like an active Christian?
No.
Okay, so you, no, but you I, just say, I, like, you want to be good, you want to do kindness to other people, that kind of stuff, like, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you kind of stuff. Awesome.
You know, the stuff you learn in kindergarten.
Even if I wasn't, right, even if I wasn't born a Jehovah's Witness, I've always had a strong conscience, and I think that it didn't shape me at all. I would still do right, even when nobody's looking, and that's still what I do today.
Well, listen, I appreciate your candor, John. Thanks for the call, pal.
Thank you, sir. Anytime you have questions, just throw up the JW signal and I'll be happy to answer.
I'll throw up the JW signal.
I would be remiss in saying that I absolutely love Mary.
Oh, hey, look at that. You are his new deity.
She is wonderful.
Yeah. She's
thank
a
you guys.
Little peach. Thank you, John. Boy, those STDs, by the way, they are no joke. You're getting out of there and, you know, they think they're going to get all kinds of stuff. Falkig knows this. He's worried when he gets out.
There's gonorrhea, herpes, human papillomavirus, HIV, syphilis, clap, and hepatitis.
Ow, it burns!
Right, it all burns. Sooner or later, it's all gonna burn. Just like Usher
Singers.
Said. Just like Usher said.
Oh.
Hey, the Guardians lost to the... or they won, rather. I'm sorry. Wishful thinking.
Shut up! They won.
And they won over the White Sox.
11 innings.
10-7 last night was the final at Guaranteed Rate Field. And they get two more games with them. 8-10 tonight is going to be the second of three. A chance for the White Sox to come back swinging. Maybe they just let the Guardians have that one. I don't know. But 8-10 tonight. You're going to hear it here on MMS and on the iHeartRadio app. Sorry, I had to burp. Canada with the NBA season very close at hand. Canada has dropped their vaccine mandate. So that unvaxxed NBA players, Kyrie Irving and guys like that, will be permitted to play in Toronto. For a long time, last couple of seasons, they weren't.
I'm really annoyed. Because when they came out with these vaccine cards, we were told by some people that this is just the beginning
And there's going to be more and more requirements like this as time goes on. And now even Canada has dropped their vaccine requirements.
Yeah, some people were positively certain that these little pieces of cardboard with handwritten dates on them were the gateway to tyranny. But I was going through my backpack the other day, kind of cleaning it out, and I had completely forgotten, like, the vaccine card isn't, like, a thing anymore, is it?
Not really. You don't need to show it anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you still have it.
It was, like, 6 months where you needed it to get in everywhere.
In a plastic sleeve, and I still have it in the thing in my bag, and I go, oh, hey, the vaccine card, look at that.
Aziz has a good bit about it on his new special where he's just like, because he filmed it in December 21. He's like, you guys all show your vaccine card or your very easy to fake vaccine card. It's like, all right, how are we going to come up with this thing? How about white paper with black lines? And we're done.
Yeah, it's like a fake ID in college. Yeah. They weren't hard to get. That's why I couldn't figure out that, I guess they were trying to make a public statement, these athletes, by not getting vaccinated, because they could have very easily gotten a fake. And there were a couple of them that did. Yeah. There were a couple guys along the way that got busted.
Yep.
Because it was a big deal for a while, as it should have been. It just isn't now. COVID's not over, but I mean, we have gotten to the point where, you know, they aren't asking you for your vaccine status when you walk in.
You mean COVID isn't over? Because I've been...
No, I thought it was official. The pandemic is over. COVID still remains.
Yeah, okay.
It's just part of our life now.
It's gonna be like the flu, and you know, exactly what they said it was gonna be.
We didn't divorce COVID. We just did a disillusionment.
We had a conscious uncoupling.
Yeah.
An unconscious uncoupling. So unvaccinated NBA players. I don't know how many of them there are. Kyrie Irving was kind of sucking a lot of the oxygen out of the room in those conversations. Matisse Thybulle with the 76ers, he couldn't play during the Sixers playoff series against Toronto. That's got to be fun, right? Hey, I don't play. I get the same money. Be a nice way to just give yourself some vacation. Kyrie Irving and all these other guys. So now they can go up there and play in Toronto. Speaking of which, a kid got pinched up there in Toronto for carjacking. On Sesame Street in Toronto. It was a, this says 16, but I read something else that he was 12 and arrested after an alleged carjacking in Toronto. You know, people think that Canada is an extraordinarily safe place to be. And in the grand scheme of things, for a city that size, Toronto seems to be pretty safe. It's very clean. But it's still human beings walking around. And just because people aren't armed to the teeth doesn't mean that it's fundamentally that much different. There's bad places of Toronto, just like anywhere else. The cops had to show up at the corner of Pharmacy Avenue and Sesame Street in Toronto to pick up this kid who had been accused of trying to carjack someone. somebody had a knife. This is a kid with a knife trying to get people's keys. And then driving off. Unfortunately, this was not near a Chick-fil-A. Here in the States, you try to carjack somebody and they're near a Chick-fil-A, they will come out and beat you about the skull with that little tablet that they've got out there while they're taking your order while you're going mobile.
You know, I bet you that damn tablet is bulletproof. That thing is like always in like the hardest little shell that they have, like a... Yeah.
It's almost like the trailer for a movie. If somebody could write something where every time one of these Chick-fil-A employees kicks ass, they look at the camera and they say, my pleasure. And like, they, you know what I mean?
And the script comes
already. Yeah, that's right. It's already the catchphrase or whatever their thing is. A Toronto teen charged after alleged carjacking at the corner of Pharmacy Avenue and Sesame Street.
I didn't know there's an actual Sesame Street up there.
There is.
The only one? Yeah. There can't be. Because it's also a seed, you know? So it could be named after the seed.
What?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that sesame is not just the street, like the cartoon. There's sesame seeds. Open sesame. There's lots of different uses, so it wouldn't necessarily have to be named after the show.
I thought sesame was a make-believe
I thought you street. Meant, is that the only Sesame Street in...
I'm saying it can't be the only one in the world.
The only Sesame Street in the world?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't think so either.
Right, because the same, it's not just the movie or the show.
TV show.
Right.
You know whose car got stolen?
Yours?
No. Marty, who was on the show a couple weeks ago. That.
Martin Malloy, Martin who was Malloy. Just here?
Yeah, he was just on the
I
show a couple
broke
weeks
into
ago.
His car. I didn't know they stole
his car. No, they stole his car.
Does he have a nice car?
No.
Have you looked at him?
I don't know. He could have had to steal some of that lawsuit money.
He didn't have any of that money. He told us he blew it all on nothing. Other lottery tickets. Where was this and when?
I think it was stolen out of his driveway.
Out of his driveway? Yeah. Wow.
Let me see.
Now, who does he tell first? Does he post this? Does he tell you?
All he does is, this is the only post that he has. My car and all my t-shirts were stolen.
That's it. Where all of his, so all of his t-shirts were in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. My car and all my t-shirts. I wish he would have said, my t-shirts were stolen and my car's gone too.
Let's see if I can get some more clarity in the comments.
Yeah, so what car, what was he driving?
I don't even remember what car it was. He goes through cars quite a bit, but I think it was.
He
just
goes
like,
through cars.
Well, because he usually gets like the cheapest car he can find, and then they'll break down.
I see.
And so I think it was like a Buick Regal or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 2002 Buick Regal.
Okay.
Whoa, 2002.
So he wasn't driving like a
a
Shelby Cobra or something.
No, something nothing like that.
I don't know. All right. Well, that sucks.
It wasn't at his house. It was Cleveland. Mm. So he replied and said, yeah.
Now, is this a situation where he left his car unlocked?
I don't know.
Because I always see things. If you have the Ring camera.
It was locked, he said. Okay.
Okay. If you have a Ring camera, you'll get these notifications on your app about things that are going on in your neighborhood. And so you'll get these little alerts. It'll say, oh, a few blocks away, somebody called the cops. There was somebody, blah, blah, blah. And so every so often, you'll see something and they say, someone's car was broken into and a bunch of things were stolen. And you come to find out that most of these cases are people who left their cars open. And I never consider that your car being broken into. That's you being a dope. You file a police report that your car got broken into and everything was stolen. And they go, well, where were the keys? Oh, they were in my visor. You know, like you're stealing a truck on an 80s action TV, like it's the A-Team or something.
Right.
Why aren't people, if I park in my driveway, and I live in Bay Village, I lock my car because I live on the earth. I don't get these people that, contingent on if they live in a nice place, they go, we don't even lock our front doors. I've heard that from people. We don't even lock our front doors. Are you insane? It's not breaking into your car if you left it unlocked.
All right. I don't see
any glass in your driveway. They just opened the door and then hotwired it. That's not hard to do.
He said that they found his car, so we'll get more updates
stripped?
On this. I don't have.
They took
that
a dump
update.
In the back seat. Did they leave a poop in?
Yes, they did. No, that might have been
they
his.
Leave a poop?
They left his poop in.
There. So like, what was
they
it?
They took the poop from his house and put it in the car. It's a ongoing investigation.
Like in the movie The Other Guys, yes. Where they left him a note, like a Jack Shack or something.
That's actually
F Shack. Yeah.
Who was it? Dirty Rain.
Dirty Larry.
Mike and the Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, Dirty Mike and the Boys, yeah.
Thanks for the F Shack.
That's actually a tease for the sports break. There's a poop story in that, too.
Hey. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
The new Pound Take podcast, by the way, is at alancockshow.com, and it's on Adam Levine. He told us that yesterday, and it's called Caught Maroon Handed.
That gave me a pretty good giggle this morning when I was checking.
That's well done. Now, did you record it before all of the other ladies came forward, or
I didn't know more ladies came
I just
forward.
Read up on it when I started, because I started the podcast a little later. Like usually I do it around like right when I get home, like around 7 or 8. But this one I started at 9 because I wanted to watch the full TikTok video, and then I was looking at the screenshots from the other ladies. So yeah, I included that in there as well.
Ooh, tell me about the other ladies.
I was getting messages yesterday from people that are like, Alan, who cares? I don't even know who Adam Levine is. I'm like, you're going to know now because it's basically plastered all over every entertainment website there is.
And when we're talking about something that you don't know, we don't know everything that you guys know
about.
Yeah,
I don't even know the music that we play on this station. I've been here for 7 years. So we don't care about what you know.
Okay, thinks Led Zeppelin is Motley Crue. So just give us some rope here.
No, but like the other
group. When people are messing up and doing dumb stuff like this, doesn't matter if you know them or not. It's fun.
I mainly talk.
Look how happy Poundcake is that a marriage is ending.
It's not, first of all, I don't believe that this is going to roll with me here. This may be controversial, but I am a bit of a conspiracy theorist because I don't think that Adam Levine cheated. I think you can't cheat if you have an arrangement, and I think they have an arrangement.
But you don't know that they have an arrangement.
I don't know that, but that's
but
that's
you know
what
how
I said.
He likes to create scenarios, and
I think they are together.
He did that whole thing with Ricky Martin's cousin, and he's nephew or whatever it was, made up all these things in his brain. It was like, this is this and this and that, and then we're like, okay, and then we found out, yeah, he just made that all up. So and he's making up their arrangement.
I think it's also just as likely that the two of them were very much on the rocks, and then he knocked her up a third time.
Well,
and all these things are coming back to bite him in the ass. So in the interim there, this might have all been going on. And, you know, this guy's on record years ago as being like, I don't believe in monogamy. I think it's all made up. Now, people can change their minds all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet somebody unlike anybody else you've ever met, and you go, oh, my God, I'm going to change my mind about that. You know, I swear to you, talk to any guy who's ever been divorced, and he will tell you he will never, ever get married again. I was the same guy. I will never get married again. And then I met my wife.
I'm just so angry that he doesn't know how to flirt. Like, the messages he was
that
sending.
That makes you angry?
Yes!
You don't have any skin in this game.
He just makes me mad because he flirts.
He can show one of his heavily inked nipples. Girls will go crazy.
He's just like, oh, my effing God, you are so hot. And then he'll write back like, so hot. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, you're just so hot. It just blows my mind. Like, it's insane. I'm like,
Dr. Penis.
Mary has a great bit about it.
Oh, my God.
You get flowers from a 5? Different than getting flowers from a 9.
Flowers from a 5 is creepy.
Yeah.
Flowers from a 9 is like, oh, my God, he's so thoughtful. Like,
I can't believe he
I'm
brought
so
me flowers
special.
At work. Yeah. And the other way, it's like, dude, he showed up at my work.
That's so
like,
creepy.
I don't even know what to do.
Yeah, well, it's the old bit about, you know, nobody complains to HR when the super hot guy is harassing mm-hmm. them in the office.
Call the Alan Cox Show.
Is that what you want to do? Think about it, Alan. Once divorced and a broken man.
216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
To send me a text, alancoxshow.com. Want to watch live? Thanks to our video assistant today, Dirty Mufflin. Not dirty, Dirty.
Dirty.
Mufflin is helping out today back there. Yeah, much appreciated. Guardians will play the White Sox for the second time tonight in Chicago. It's a second of three. They beat Chicago 10-7 last night. And you'll hear all of it here. 8:10 is your start, so a pregame around 7:40 here on MMS. And all through the month of September, it's getting nearer to the end. You can use the promo code BUZZ for 20% off whatever you get at CLE Clothing Company.
I always get the updates on the scores for Guardians games, and depending on who I'm with, they'll just hear me either be very happy or very angry. Just out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just be doing stuff. Like last night was hanging out with my girlfriend, and I think we were watching A League of Their Own because she wanted to watch it for whatever reason.
The movie or the TV show?
The movie, the old one, yeah. And at one point I just go, God damn it. And she's like, what? Did you not like this part of the movie? I'm like, no. The Guardians.
She thought you were getting angry at A League of Their Own.
Yeah, she thought I was really that invested in it.
You thought that there should be crying in baseball.
I think there should be crying wherever there needs to be crying.
Cry your cries.
Amen.
Fart your farts.
Cry your cries.
Yeah. Mary Santora is fully on board with that.
I 100%.
Cry anywhere and anytime need to. Why keep that bottled up?
You shouldn't. I had a huge sobbing therapy session today. Like, I cried harder today than I have cried.
I thought your therapist was in Mexico.
Italy. I was wrong. And he just got back.
He lied to you about where he was going, didn't he?
No,
then he forgot that he lied to you about where
he was going. He was in Mexico earlier in the year.
I mean, I'm going to be in Puerto Vallarta.
Vallarta. Yeah. I had a big one today. Lots of crying, lots of sobbing.
Are you cured now?
I'm fixed, yes.
Hey!
Don't cry anymore, ever again.
He was like, you never have to come back, you're fixed.
That is fantastic. So he looked at you and he said, you know what? I hate to tell you this because it's going to cut into my overhead, but you are doing fine.
Killing it.
No need to come in anymore.
Why you bugging?
No longer bugging.
Nope. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to regret asking this.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
What made me cry?
I don't know. I mean, you know.
Well.
Do you get the impression from him that he feels that he's helping you?
Yes.
Or you don't get that impression?
I feel like I'm being helped.
That's not what I asked.
I feel like he thinks he's helping.
Okay. Yeah. Does he feel like he's helping?
Yeah. So this one was, after that lady showed me those pictures of my dad on Saturday, it's been a rough few days. Just like, you know, grief comes in waves.
There was a woman that came to Mary's show in Cincinnati and had a photo of Mary's dad from high school.
From 1983.
She went to high school in Berea with Mary's dad and now lives in Cincinnati.
So her and I exchanged phone numbers and she's been sending me pictures as she's come across them over the last few days. And so, yeah, it just hit hard. And then, I mean, and then when Bill and I were talking on Monday, I was telling the story about meeting that lady. And then Bill was asking questions that were making me mad. And then a bunch of things.
I wasn't trying to make
you
mad.
A bunch of things came out that I'm still harboring a lot of resentment and guilt and frustration and anger. And then if you thought Monday was bad, amplify that by about 10. And that's the therapy session I had today where I'm just
Let me ask this. Was a therapist asking similar questions to what I was asking?
I was kind of just like unloading. Okay. I was just kind of like, I'm still mad about this and I hate that and there was no closure here and like just kind of like letting it all out. And I'm like, one of those. And, you know, I mean, if you would like to know what he said, he said that I'm ashamed of the feelings I'm having, which is why I'm having such a difficult time accepting them. Which is true, because I'm like, I don't want to make this about me every other day. He's the one who's dead. Like, there's bigger issues here, you know? And just not being able to have closure and da-da-da-da and feeling like I should be further along than I am in my grief recovery. And he's like,
does anybody think, I can't tell anyone how to therapize or be therapized to. Is there any thought?
But you speculate.
I will. I'm curious how alone I am in the belief that closure is way overrated.
You got to say goodbye to your dad.
I don't mean that.
That's what I mean.
I mean in general.
I don't think so. I think closure is very important. Dad and I had a horrible relationship. So to leave things so open-ended is what issue lies.
But would you have considerably improved it in those last few days of whatever? I mean, everything is so compressed. He was sick and at a given point dying,
right?
And
but you're not making up
it's better
for
than
it.
Nothing. I understand what you're saying.
I'm not even saying not getting to say goodbye is part of it, but like the guilt and regret and things come up of not living my life with him differently. That's more of what it is, where it's like, and that's a two-way street. He could have tried harder.
Very,
I could have tried harder.
Two-way street, because right. You told him what you wanted to do and he rejected it,
right?
So, you have a lot more feelings in that regard than I do, and it's something that I'm trying to understand to deal with some stuff that I'm going through with my daughter, because feelings run her life.
Yeah. Did you say dog?
Yes, my dog is. Tur. Yeah, my dog tur. No, my oldest daughter.
I can't get closure with my pet. And listen, which daughter? The oldest?
Yeah.
And it's hard.
And I just, like, I'm trying to understand it more. Because even when I was her age and was going through similar things, I'd get sad. But I never got to, like I would get more numb than I would, fall into this pit of despair.
Yeah.
The only time I ever hit that low was regarding my time in the Philippines and being a religion and stuff like that. And so, since I didn't raise her with religion, she doesn't even really know what sadness is.
Right. How are you going to be how do you thoroughly hate yourself and just have a bottomless pit of regret if you weren't raised with religion?
Right.
Organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what suffering is. Do you think that when your therapist sees his therapist, he talks about you? Like when Dr. Melfi would sit down with her guy on The Sopranos and talk about Tony. Do you think your guy talks about you?
I don't think so. Maybe.
That's what boggles my mind about therapists. Like, is there a never-ending line of therapy amongst therapists? Like,
everybody's messed up, man. Yeah.
But I'm saying, do therapists go to therapy?
And some do.
And then those therapists, are they like all, is their mind all been out of shape because they're helping a therapist be a better therapist? Do you know what I'm saying? Is there like a hierarchy? Is there one grand therapist that's just like,
yeah, I don't Jesus hate Christ.
There's one grand therapist.
I know it all and I help everybody else because eventually.
His name is Jack Franklin and he's been licensed for 35 years. He practices in San Jose, California. And he's very, very difficult to get an appointment. That's what I was talking about, that $475 a session. That's Jack Franklin.
It just kind of depresses me because then no one knows anything. Everyone's just kind of like, yeah, well, whatevs. Like, you know.
I don't think that's it.
So after you unload all that stuff, what is his advice to you? Like, what's the next step if you don't mind sharing?
Conservatorship.
No, you're fine. Yeah. giving Cody all of my money and social media logins and allowing him to run my career, actually. Cody, you came up. No, I'm just kidding. He said that I have to accept my feelings as they are and not put the word should in my life as heavily as I do, because those are the reasons why you start to feel shame or guilt or whatever, because you're not doing what you should be doing. But when it comes to things like grieving, there is no should. Everybody does it differently. And
this is why you should watch Star Wars.
Yeah.
There is no try.
Do or do not.
Do or do not.
And listen, it works for shoulds, too.
There is no should. Just be, just feel whatever it is. And then what I was most mad about is I told him, I was like, I've gotten rid of all of my unhealthy coping mechanisms, and I'm learning at 33 years old, almost 33, that I have no healthy ones. I don't like sitting with my feelings. I want to be numb. I want to zone out. I want to go do something that takes my mind off of them. And so for the first time in my life, I don't have that. I mean, even until May, when I banned myself from the casino, I was self-medicating with just a different addiction. So in the last couple months is the first time that I'm having to face anything and actually deal with it with zero outlets.
Not even like, you know.
Now she's self-medicating with Brian's wiener.
I was going to say, you're touching yourself or something. I don't know.
I mean, no.
That's his question. I'm sorry. He was reading off your therapist crib notes.
Do you touch yourself?
Do you?
Oh, tell us
what if there's something real shameful?
Hey, Allie.
Hey.
Hi. What's going on?
Hi.
What's up?
I was just calling to tell you that I am going to my first ever Browns game tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I made reservations at the Ivy for my husband and I to come see you.
Yeah. I didn't even know you could make reservations down there.
Yes, you can.
Oh, you got like a VIP spot or something?
I sure do.
Oh, Allie. Look at you.
I cannot wait. We're even sitting in the dog pound, too.
Yeah. You had me until husband. But listen, it'll be fun to see you guys. And 5:45 tomorrow is when we start down there, okay?
I will be there probably around 5 o'clock.
Whoa, early. Well, yeah, she's got the reservation. She's got to get herself pre-gamed. It's best to get a couple of pops in you just to prepare to meet me, because it's always a disappointment. And the drunker you are, the more fun you'll have.
Okay, that sounds like a wonderful time.
All right,
time.
There you go. Allie is calling me from a carnival, I guess. That's all right. Thank you, Allie.
I was like, are you walking down the street right now?
She's at the French
There's
fry
like
stand.
A dump truck.
She's got a boombox on her shoulder, and she's walking down. She's got dumps like a truck. Yeah, the Cox Out pregame's tomorrow because we got a Thursday night game with the Pittsburgh Steelers at First Energy Stadium. So we got. I'm ending the show a little early tomorrow.
What time are we out?
The 5:20. The last two segments of the show will be best of.
Mary, we're done at 3.
And then I'll be checking in.
Just go.
And I'll be, shut up, pound cake. And then I'll be checking in from the Ivy. But that gets going at 5:45.
Here's a shirt that one of our customers made.
What's it say?
It's you won't like it because I think you should leave. Oh. But it's Carl. It's Carl Havoc from I Think You Should Leave. And he is he says, I don't want to be around anymore. And then on the back it says, the chin kills.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Joe.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, Joe?
Nothing. I just want to congratulate Mary on her her progress through her therapy. And I'd like to say I really love your guys' show. I enjoy listening to it. I listen to Rovers more. I'm a retired guy. I'm 63 years old, and I love listening to Rovers, but he gets on and on about nothing. So I really like
So do I. That's why we like everybody listening all day long. He just gets on about different other nothing than I do.
We've done four segments of Ghost Bag in 3 days.
No! Yeah.
I really enjoy your show, and it's awesome. And Mary's progress to her therapist, yeah. It sounds like really good, because I'm going through a little bit of that myself, and they can't figure out what's wrong with me, but it's all in your head and how you feel. You have to get out and do
good
stuff.
Good right. for you.
I know, right?
No!
It's awesome. And the subjects you guys talk about are just awesome. I'm sitting here laughing my
yeah. Well, listen, man.
It's really good.
So,
it's
Joe,
good. It's good therapy for me.
Enough about me, Joe. What about you? From what did you retire?
Just a factory job where I made door panels and stuff like that, and I couldn't take it no more. And they couldn't figure out what I've been off since April 2nd.
And, you're newly retired.
It's very, very.
And early, here. Yeah. You were like, you take this job and shove it. I got to get the hell out of here. I don't want to see another door as long as I live. He took them off all the hinges at his own house.
And the people that work there, they're stupid. Like you've never seen.
I mean, with all due respect, Joe, do you have to be in Mensa to be making door panels?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Four different ones.
Yeah.
And then the people I have to babysit people sometimes, and I just can't take it no more, so I'm fine now.
Understood. Okay.
Her and I have been married 37 years,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing just great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm loving the life. I'm hanging out with my dog, which is like a support dog anymore for me, because I'm never home. Usually I work 10-hour days. 5 days a week, and not anymore. So I'm doing really, really good.
Sounds like you're living life
better.
He's out there killing.
I'm loving
it. All right, good. Well, listen, I appreciate you. I appreciate you listening. Okay.
Oh yeah, this is an awesome show.
Okay,
awesome. America first. America.
Thank you, Joy. I appreciate it.
The last one sounded sarcastic.
I know, the whole thing did. Oh, I really love it. It's great. We need more Mary. Mary's awesome. I love Mary.
Two old man calls who love music.
I know.
Two.
I'm retired, and I love. I've got more time to listen now
than ever.
America, what the hell,
man?
Dude.
Hey, by the way, we have a lot of bureau chiefs in the great state of Alaska. Our own Mary Santora has performed comedically up there. We have Cole, who drives for FedEx in Juneau, Alaska. We have Andrew in Cooper Landing, Alaska. We have Jeff in Palmer, Alaska. And they all got their oil money check yesterday.
Ooh.
You know how in Alaska the oil companies get... I don't know how, by the way, the oil companies have not gotten out of this in the decades that they've... I have no idea why these companies are still making payments to people in Alaska. You would think they would have gotten rid of this a long time ago. Everybody in Alaska just got $3,000 yesterday. That's part of their permanent fund dividend. But even the word permanent, I mean, listen, there's loopholes, man. I can't believe these, you know.
They want to keep people in Alaska. They're so...
Why?
Because it's a state that is...
It's Seward's Folly.
But it's severely unpopulated, and they want people to live there. There is incentives for you to live there, and that's one of the. That's one.
They
of
need
them.
People working the oil pipelines, is what they need.
Well, they can ship people in for that, but
that's what I'm saying. What do they care if people live there?
But because you can't have a state and operate it without people living there.
Sure, you can.
The only people that would live there is pretty much the government officials.
You just said it yourself. It's a very unpopulated state.
Yes, but it's not. It's like 500,000 people. So
it seems to work for Australia. 75% of that whole continent is uninhabited. Anyway, a total of $1.6 billion in direct deposits started going to our Alaskan Bureau Chief's bank accounts yesterday. They added, the lawmakers in the state added about $600 as a one-time benefit because energy costs are high. But they got that dividend. I just can't believe that the oil companies haven't figured out a way to screw Alaskans. Because people, they're like, whoa, we're going to, I mean, if you got $3,000 tomorrow, who knows what you'd buy with it, right? And who cares what you buy with it? You buy an ATV or something, or buy a 75-inch TV. But in the rural parts of the state, things are very expensive. 12-pack of soda is $14.
That's more than a dollar of soda, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
I think.
A tiny little thing of, like, Oikos yogurt, you know, with the foil, $3.
Jeez.
I think that's what it is. That's what it is here.
No, they're not.
They're not $3?
No. All right. Where are you getting your yogurt, bro? They're ripping you off. You need a new yogurt, guys.
I haven't had yogurt in a long time. I've been eating eggs.
Instead?
Yes.
I eat a lot of yogurt. I'm tired of it. I go through phases with it where I'll eat a yogurt every day for like 2 or 3 weeks and then I don't touch it for a month. Yes.
This is that new kind of low-key FM radio sound, kind of subdued, relaxed radio. Goes something like this.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7.
WMMS.
Three 5 1 9 2 if you want to send a text. AlanCoxShow.com. Watch us live there. Our YouTube channel is The Alan Cox Show, by the way. Thanks again to Dirty Mufflin for helping out in the video department. There is also a brand new episode of the Pound Take podcast where he does a deep, deep dive into the recent goings-on in the life, brain, penis, and marriage of one Adam Levine. It's called Caught Maroon-Handed. And I think tomorrow we'll see the new Bill Squire show episode, right?
Yep.
We'll get to the Pound Cake sports break a little bit later on. That's in the 5 o'clock hour. And tomorrow we'll do Pound Cake's weigh-in. Mary is keeping score of where he is since she is the other half of the wager that they have made.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people have taken some issue with this wager since Mary has banned herself from gambling with the state of Ohio. However, this is not sanctioned by the state of Ohio.
And also,
this is sanctioned by me.
This is not the problematic type of gambling. I'm not running around offering people money to lose weight. That's not how I ended up in debt. Slot machines, babe.
I just need another taste of you losing weight.
Right.
Come on, daddy needs a smaller suit.
Now, if we had a Buffalo Gold machine sitting out here, or maybe a Top Dollar, that would be an issue.
Buffalo Gold. I think I smoked that last time we were in Denver.
Dude.
More of a head high.
It's ridiculous how stupid gambling will make you feel. Or like, I come home, my boyfriend's like, what's wrong? I'd be like, the kitty glitter didn't line up how I needed it to. Pelican Pete wasn't very nice to me tonight.
Pelican Soda. Pete?
I'll tell you what's wrong. Dragon Cash. That's what it is.
Yeah. Wow. Listen, I have a
soft... That makes you feel dumb.
No, it is dumb.
Okay,
I know
there you go.
No, I know it's so dumb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's just like, you can't even... It's not even like a... Something like a cool addiction.
Well, also, have you stopped watching the...
No, I watch those videos every single day. Every day with breakfast, I watch a slot machine video.
All right. Because you know, like, that's the odds, right?
What do you mean?
Like, aren't the odds real bad for slot machines?
No, I mean, like, the best slot machine has, like, an 84% payout, which means if you put in $100, you're only going to get 84 back. That's, like, the best you can do.
But if you get put in $200... You'd get $170.
Almost,
back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
But there's that every now and then.
Trying to fool me.
Right. Every now and then chance that you'll hit it big. You know?
And that's what people are counting on.
Yes.
Every once in a while.
One more spin. One more spin. Just in case. Two more. All right. We'll go down to 300. All right. All right. We'll go back to 150. Okay. I only put in 100.
It is funny, though, to see the floor manager of a casino go and put like an out of order sign on a slot machine after it pays out big.
I've never seen that.
Oh, I saw that in Detroit. I was doing my show at the Greektown Casino when I was on the air in Pittsburgh, and it was whatever year the Steelers went to the Super Bowl. Steelers, Seahawks. and the Super Bowl was at Ford Field. So I was doing my show there the whole week from the lounge of the Greektown Casino. Mm-hmm. I was on in the morning. And so I'd get there at about 5 a.m., and it's packed.
Oh, you're there for first call.
There were people there all night.
Yeah.
I mean, old ladies, people's grandmothers who had clearly been there all night.
They wear diapers, so they don't have to get up and go pee.
And this woman was...
At least.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just don't get up and go pee.
There was a guy who had been sitting at this slot machine. I'm setting up the show or whatever, and I'm kind of on this stage, and there's, like, chairs or whatever. And so off on the other side of that is where the slot floor starts. And so I'm just watching, and this guy is sitting there. He'd been sitting there for an hour playing this machine. And it finally hits huge. Like, this guy's flipping his shrimp because it hits huge. And they deal with whatever they got to deal with. And the floor manager walks right over, cracks this thing open like an oyster. He's like, well, something's clearly wrong. He's got, like, an engineer walking over.
Yeah.
As if to say, well, I don't want any more of this today.
Right.
So let's slap a, you know, let's tell people this is out of order. Or maybe they just had to refill it with tokens. What do I know? Doesn't pay out with tokens? It doesn't pay out with tokens? Are you sure?
It's dumb, dumb.
You got a little piece of paper that has all the money on it.
It's tickets, and then you take it to the counter to see if you can get it.
You can take it to the counter. You just put it in a machine, and it gives you, like, an ATM.
You don't go up. They don't have a counter to see, like, oh, could I get the Xbox?
No, you're thinking of Dave and Buster's.
Could I get 5 Nerds ropes?
How many tickets? $700.
Yeah. I'll take that $2,000 Xbox. So we weigh pound cake in on Thursdays. Who has the scale, by the way?
I got it in my locker.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll weigh him tomorrow.
Do you feel like you've lost weight, Cody?
You guys weigh me every Thursday, but I weigh myself almost every day.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. We want you to know on Thursday.
No, I have to know.
Why? You don't.
Because I freak out if I'm not following.
Dude, you can't weigh yourself every day. You're not going to see anything.
Yeah,
it literally does. I was all depressed yesterday because I gained 2 pounds.
Yes.
And then you pooped it out?
It was water.
I went like 181 to 174 in one. I'm like, okay, clearly something's going on. I'm neither of those right now.
I was 188, and then when I weighed I was 186, and then I was 188, and I was like, where did that come from? And then yesterday, like, I was just minding my own business.
No, don't tell us.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to know on Thursdays what you weigh.
Okay.
I don't even care about this, and I want to know on Thursdays what you weigh.
It's thick Thursdays.
Save me some surprise.
Next week, are we going to do it on Wednesday, or are we going to take a week off?
We're going to do it on Wednesday.
Okay.
Because we're gone Thursday and Friday next week, so you'll be weighed in either before or after the sports break. That'll be up to you.
Doesn't matter to me.
All right.
He probably sweats during the sports break, so weigh him afterward. He might be down a pound.
Okay. So. I've got a theme song for him and everything. Yeah. So, we'll do that tomorrow.
Boy, I really hope I lose this weight. I want to lose this weight so bad.
We all want you to lose the weight. We're all gunning for you.
I don't.
Or pulling for you, rather. We're not.
I want $500.
You're not.
In my $1.50 installments.
I was
going to
say,
years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You better get it.
2 years. And you never said they had to be like dollar bills.
But you know how bets work.
I know how bets work.
You got to pay out, homie. And it can't be in Uber Eats Nichols. Gift cards either.
Yeah, he just gives me all of his gift cards from Christmas. So yeah. How he gets them.
Yeah. I'm going to pay you in Chipotle.
Hey, a Visa gift card works just fine. What are you talking about?
Well, that's different. I was thinking of retail gift cards.
Uber Eats or Chick-fil-A. No.
I did get a birthday gift of, I think the listeners are plotting against me, although the card did say after you win. But I'm like, I have to sit here with this temptation. I got a $30 gift card to Chick-fil-A. And it was like, after you beat Mary, you know, enjoy. I'm like, it's right there.
It's not even beating Mary.
No.
This is for you. This is beating yourself.
I know.
Living up to your potential.
And you're beating yourself all the time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Guess who sees it?
Oh, God.
I see all of it.
I'm so tired of you.
I'm not tired of you.
Where did this even... been gone forever.
What? Who?
You have been gone for a really long time, and all of a sudden you just pop up out of nowhere, making my life miserable.
What do you mean I'm making your life miserable?
What?
I'm trying to be your friend.
No, I don't need any more friends. I'm good. I'm 30. I got all the friends I need.
No, you don't.
I'm telling you I do. I'm good.
All right. Then I'll leave you alone.
Please.
You'll never hear from Goosebag again.
Thank you.
Maybe.
How do I get a ghost restraining order?
You have to go to the ghost boss. In ghost court.
Hey, listen, Bill Murray is 72 years old today. I couldn't help but think what Mary was talking about. We were discussing her in therapy. I was thinking about the movie What About Bob?
So good.
Which is one of my wife's favorite movies. I've only seen it once. But Bill Murray, 72 years old today.
Happy birthday.
And
taking a vacation from my problems.
From my problems.
Baby steps.
Don't hassle me. I'm local. Mm-hmm. It's still one of my favorite t-shirts of all time.
It's such a great shirt, but also the colors of it are so funny because it's
bright,
so
neon, yeah.
Bright and just it's just like nobody would wear that shirt except for Bob.
Mm-hmm.
There's two types of people in this world: those who love Neil Diamond, those who don't.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to see it again.
Loved him? Is that what
it? Yeah, because yeah. That's why he got a divorce. Yeah.
Because she didn't like Neil Diamond.
No, she did. He didn't like Neil Diamond.
All right. It was Richard Dreyfuss is the therapist in that, right? Where's he been? Is he dead?
He's old. If he's not.
I don't think he's dead.
Richard Dreyfuss. I don't know if you see him in stuff anymore.
I don't think he's dead. I just think he's old.
He is alive. But I wonder why.
He's almost 80, right?
He is 74 years old.
Oh, he don't look good.
You don't think so? Like the gray beard and everything? I mean, I don't know.
He's had the gray beard since What About Bob?
Yeah. See if he's got anything coming. Oh, he's got something coming.
1946.
A movie he completed in 2012. They still have his TBA. Mm. Yeah, so he'll show up in stuff every now and then. As like a crime boss, you know? He was in a great movie nobody saw. There was a graphic novel years ago called
Jaws.
No. There was a graphic novel called Polar, and they made a Netflix movie out of it about this assassin who's retiring, Mads Mikkelsen, if you know.
I did an Polar episode of Flicks and Bill on
awesome.
That was a great movie.
So good. The Netflix movie is a few years old, but yeah. I don't think anybody really watched it. Boy,
I loved it. That was a great,
awesome,
really fun movie.
SNL has announced the first three guest hosts of the season. We're talking about how half that cast is gone, either quit or been fired or whatever. They're calling it a transition year. Two of the new cast members have connections to Cleveland. One of them is a native. And they've said that the first three hosts are going to be Miles Teller, who I think Pound Cake likes.
Yes, I do.
Season 48 starts next Saturday. No, two Saturdays away, right? October 1.
Yeah, that's next Saturday.
That is next Saturday. Okay. It's going to be Miles Teller and Kendrick Lamar. And then Brendan Gleeson, who is a great Irish actor.
That was a weird one.
Yeah, I think so, too. But I bet he's going to be really funny.
I know he's in a lot of things, and he was in the Harry Potter movies.
He was in Harry Potter, too.
Everybody poops.
Yep.
Expelling
the Sorcerer's Bowl.
But he...
He was Trump in that Showtime show where Jeff Daniels was Mueller. Brendan Gleeson played Trump.
But what's his... Is there something that got him to be SNL's host? Because he's always just been kind of a character actor.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a movie coming out that everybody's talking about, him and Colin Farrell. So,
What's that one?
Paddington 2?
No, I
need to see Paddington and Paddington 2 because there's a lot of high praise for Paddington and Paddington 2.
I tell you what, I happened to watch Paddington... Because I was clicking around with my daughter, and it was just starting, and I said, well, let's watch this. I enjoyed it very much. Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell did a movie called In Bruges years ago, and they have another movie coming out called The Banshees of Inisherin, which sounds really, really indie, but tailored for a specific audience. But
Colin
supposed to be really
Firth
good.
Or Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell.
He's hot.
So anyway, Brendan Gleeson and Willow... will be week two. That's Will Smith's kid. And then Megan Thee Stallion is going to host and sing.
Twofer.
Double duty.
Do they pay her twice? They pay her to host and to...
I sure hope. So anyway, that Miles Teller, I'm kind of on the fence about him, but then I see him and stuff, and I watched Top Gun. He's in this Paramount show about the making of The Godfather called The Offer.
What don't you like about him?
More off-screen stuff that you read about and that I've heard. I'm like, this guy's kind of a load. But he's good in stuff.
Off-screen stuff that you've heard. Don't you know that there are rumors that don't necessarily...
I learned it from watching you, Dad.
Okay. Well, you're only hurting yourself.
Yeah, I know I am. So, again, when I see him and stuff, he's pretty good. So, I have no reason to think he won't be good on SNL.
I guess he was in The Whale, too. With
Brendan Gleeson is?
Yeah.
Did you see that they officially announced Tusk 2?
Yeah.
Is like under
We talked about that a while ago.
Yeah.
You might have been out.
Oh. I saw it on Twitter yesterday. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Here it is.
Is it called Return of the Tusk?
I don't think it had a name yet.
Oh. Tusk 2, the Tusk and the Furious?
Tuskier.
Mm-hmm. Life in Tuscany. Okay. Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, you might be interested, since you mentioned Richard Dreyfuss, he's doing a CCM movie cruise in November, 5 days, with Chevy Chase and other old movie stars, and you could, you could mix and mingle with the old stars. I think Chevy Chase would be fun to talk to about his old movies, too.
Boy, I wonder what they're paying them. The TCM Classic Cruise, that's Turner Classic Movies, is what Steve's talking about. And they're setting off mid-November. They go to the Cayman Islands. Richard Dreyfuss, Chevy Chase, Lainey Kazan, for people who know who that is, and Deanna Martin, who I do not know who that is. And then, strangely enough, Slayer, Striper, and Lamagod are going to be on that. So, boy, they're really all over the place there. Thank you, Steve. Pat Boone. Sean Young. Remember Sean Young? She was in Batman Returns or something. She was in Blade Runner back in the day. Maybe Pat Boone will do, if for people who know who Pat Boone is, I'm sure Bill's parents know who Pat Boone is. Pat Boone was basically a guy who took black rock and roll music and made it palatable for white audiences. That was his big claim to fame. Songs that couldn't get played on the radio. As soon as Pat Boone did them, they were like, oh, this
good
is great.
Go.
Oh,
yeah.
We love it. But about 25 years ago, he did an album called In a Metal Mood, where he put on, I had this on CD just for a goof. He had on a leather vest and no shirt. And he was doing swing versions of metal songs. And people just thought it was hilarious that he was doing these. Let me find one for you. You know the song already.
Ghost on the water, fire in the sky.
You know he's going to sing this on the TCM cruise, probably. Yes, Ghost on the Water.
Well, we all came out to Montreux.
Yeah, that's how. He also does Holy Diver, he does Crazy Train.
Waiting for Little John to come in.
Let's go.
If you want it, you can get it. Let me know.
I like that better than. There you go. Choo choo.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, but that's how it goes.
Listen, if you've never heard this, you're not going to be able to unhear it either.
Millions of people living as fools.
Uh-huh. That's Panama
kinda
from Van Halen. On these gals. You want to hear Enter Sandman before I move on?
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah.
Say your prayers, little one. Don't forget my son to include everyone. I tuck you in, warm within, keep you free from sin till the Sandman he comes.
That guy is still alive, by the way, Pat Boone. He's 88 years old, so he would have been, you know, mid-50s when he did this. But No More Mr. Nice Guy was the name of his album, and he had on a fake gold hoop earring to show that he was metal.
Call the Alan Cox Show.
He's dumb and stupid. He's lazy. He can't even pronounce Dua Lipa. At least that's what I've heard.
216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
Want to send a text, alancoxshow.com. To listen live, you can listen, of course, on the iHeartRadio app. If you do that from out of state, tell me where. I like to put people on our map. We have bureau chiefs that listen all across this great land of ours. Lynn is a bureau chief in Venice Beach, Florida. Angela listens in Nashville. Andrew's in Wilmore, Kentucky. Adam's in Atlanta. Big Mitch.
You okay? Started during the break. I just got hiccups out of nowhere.
Big Mitch is in North Pacific Beach, South Dakota. Try to get your head around that. So thank you. The Guardians in Chicago, the second of three tonight. They beat the White Sox last night in extra innings. 10-7 was the final. That's a good game. So they get another crack at him tonight. 8:10 local time here on MMS and on the iHeartRadio app. So be listening for that. On your FM home of Cleveland Guardians baseball. WMMS, as we, a lot of people pointing out, and I guess I knew this but had forgotten, I was playing that Pat Boone Crazy Train. That's the theme song for the Osbournes, because Pat Boone was famously one of Ozzy's neighbors for a long, long time. And so that was probably what put the germ of an idea in Pat Boone's head to do those covers. And of course, the great Richard Cheese beat him to that, you know, but it was just more that Richard Cheese was kind of a novelty. And so was Pat Boone, obviously, but Pat Boone was much more widely known for doing a completely different kind of music than, but they did use that Crazy Train theme song for the Osbournes, which is a show that I never really watched all that religiously when it was on.
I never watched it at all.
I would watch a couple episodes here and there, but it never, never stuck to my ribs like it did a lot of other people.
It blew me away that it was such a massive hit.
Well, I don't know how many shows were really inside celebrities' homes like that, though, at the time. And also, I mean, Ozzy being Ozzy, and it was, I guess, funny to see him kind of dodder around. But I was like, but you can't, in my mind, you can't have that show and the whole, like, I'm the Prince of Darkness thing. It's like, well, because you're a grandpa, and now we see you puttering around the house feeding the dogs, and, you know. But it was that dichotomy, clearly. If you were to film any one of us in our homes, you'd see us doddering around feeding a pet. Well, not Mary, because her pet, you know.
She dodders herself.
She dodders herself, right? But Bill and I, because we have pets that we actually want to spend time with, and they actually want to spend time with us.
Interesting.
Would feed them. Mary's cat only shows up when it wants something.
She shows up to hang out sometimes. To chill.
When was the last time she showed up to hang out?
Yesterday.
And where were you and where was she?
We were in the back room and she came and hung out and we played on the cat tower and played laser and all kinds of fun stuff.
Played laser. That's where you do the light thing.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Chase it around.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get her used to her cat tower so she can play by herself.
I do the light thing, but with my 6-year-old daughter. I didn't even need a cat. I'll just reflect the light off my phone, the face of my phone, and then she'll chase it around them.
She get a laser. She'll go crazy.
No, I don't want to do that. Because if she looks at me the wrong way, I don't want to accidentally get that laser in her eye.
Blind her.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Man, I don't even know what my dog. I've never done the laser thing with my dog, but my guess is she would love it. She'd go Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should test that out.
Don't tell me how to live my life. Ain't nobody gonna tell me
how to play with my dog. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live.
Alan, what's the Guardian's magic number? I don't know. Was it 10?
Should be 11 or something. 11. Like that,
there you go. The Guardian's magic number for today is 9.
9. Okay.
9 games. Well, congratulations.
Getting closer and closer.
9.
Yeah. So whatever combination that lays out there, that's what they look at. And congratulations, by the way. You might not be a New York baseball fan, but that Aaron Judge, boy, this guy's a big deal. He's just
hitting, dude, he's having an incredible season.
He's hitting dingers left and right. He tied with Babe Ruth. His 60th home run. They played the Pirates last night, the beleaguered Pittsburgh Pirates. Aaron Judge hit his 60th home run in the 7th inning last night.
Drill deep to left field. There it goes. Number 60. Aaron James Judge has tied George Herman Babe Ruth with 60 home runs.
Why all three names like serial killers?
To make it that much more official.
Hmm. Ties him with what Babe Ruth did 95 years ago. Aaron Judge is the first AL player to reach the 60 home run mark since Roger Maris in 1961. That was a longer season than Babe Ruth's, and Roger Maris hit 61 home runs. So there's 14 remaining games for the Yankees, and he could tie or beat the record. So for people who, again, you might not even be a Yankees fan, but those, I think, are cool things to watch.
It's pretty impressive because the last time anybody hit this many home runs, it was during the steroid era. So there's a lot of asterisks.
Mark McGwire. Yeah, right.
Mark McGwire. Barry Bonds. Sammy Sosa. I think Sammy Sosa hit over 63 times, which is bananas. But there's, you know, the steroid aspect of it. And for the most part, we don't think that Aaron Judge is on steroids.
That was going to be my next question. Has there been any indication that... not indication. Has there been any question that this guy's possibly juicing, or has that not even come up?
I haven't heard it come up, and I also think there's been a lot of advances in just nutrition and how to take care of your body and how to build muscle without using steroids. So I think, yeah, he is jacked, and he can hit for power like nobody else, but he's doing it within the confines of what he's allowed to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody texting me about people getting their cars stolen because of a TikTok thievery challenge.
Yeah. You ever heard of this?
Specifically Hyundais and Kias.
Yeah. Oh, we already talked about that. We talked about the Kia thing a couple weeks ago.
I guess I don't remember that was a TikTok thing.
Yeah. Started on TikTok. There's a new thing on TikTok that was, throwing pumpkins at old people. I don't know. There's always a new thing on TikTok.
Well, there is. I've got some food news for you. The FDA is telling people stop paying attention to TikTok and don't cook your chicken in NyQuil. I love the stuff people come up with.
NyQuil chicken. That's the one.
Do not cook your chicken.
Who thought of that, though?
I love it. NyQuil chicken? I was reading a stat the other day that more people now are getting information. They're not going to Google. They're going to TikTok. Instead of using Google for information, they just go, let's see what I can learn on TikTok. And it's not to say that there aren't things you can learn on TikTok.
There's a lot you can learn
on there. All social media is rife with disinformation, too. Case in point, NyQuil chicken.
So
and the FDA has said, hey, guys,
please stop.
We can't believe we have to tell you this, grown men and women of America.
My wife got sick last night, so I'm cooking up some NyQuil chicken. I've done this in the past, and usually I use about, 4/3 of the bottle. Season that NyQuil in there just at the right temperature.
How do you use 4/3 of the bottle? See, that's all you need to know is this guy's using 4/3 of the bottle
okay.
to cook NyQuil chicken.
This is my theory. Not a theory. I'm confused.
This guy's already robo-tripping.
I cannot
with
tell.
With his fractions.
If the people on TikTok are genuinely dumb. No. Or if they're the greatest trolls of all time.
I think that's a little of both. I think they're goofing because they're like, well, let's just try this. Like, I don't think there's any malice to it.
Like, he could totally be joking. That's why he said four thirds on purpose to be like, guys, this is clearly a joke.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going with he's joking.
There's a lot of dummies looking at this stuff, though, to the point where...
You put four thirds in.
But there's so many things like that on there. So many trends and stuff where I'm like, I feel like Gen Z are just the ultimate trolls. And they're just getting us to be like, you guys are idiots. And they're like, they got us, you know?
They know when they see something that's going to flip people out, and then they buy into it. The whole Tide Pod thing, people were biting into them. They weren't really eating them.
Ingesting them.
Yes. And so they go, well, this is this. And they know how to get people riled up and make it a news story. Even the Kia challenge or whatever it is, this you know, stealing a car challenge, it's happening, but it's not happening at the level.
It's not a crime wave across the country, yeah, right?
The news wants to make it out to
when there's a spotlight put on it. That, yeah. Nevertheless, I wish we could get to a point where like people were putting energy into anything else.
Yeah,
yes, other than just trolling people. Like, okay, it's like a little, you know.
I use about, you know, four thirds of the bottle. Season that NyQuil in there just at the right temperature. You don't want to let it sit there and sizzle for about, you know, 5 to 30 minutes. Oh, sometimes the steam really makes you sleepy.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear he's joking.
That's what I mean.
But again, the FDA has to be proactive and go, hey, this is going around and it's not like we have people dropping dead and it probably wouldn't even really hurt you. But they're like, it's probably not a good idea to heat up NyQuil.
Mm-hmm. Cook your NyQuil.
Looking for is that blue color right there. Drain the unused right back into the NyQuil can, just like so. And boom, NyQuil chicken.
Right, put it back into the can. A, I didn't even realize that NyQuil came in a can.
It doesn't.
It came in a bottle. But
he used the fraction four thirds, so, you know. Which is
but you're right. It is funny. You'll get a couple of people who blow up on TikTok or Instagram, some whatever, you know, choose your social media conveyance of choice. And then the news will go with Tide Pod Insanity because they need to do that. Tide Pod Insanity. And then obviously parents who aren't paying attention to what their kids are doing. Are like, are you eating soap?
We gotta lock up the Tide Pods.
Because the only people who benefit from this are the OG trolls. I always think of kids whose parents are breathing down their necks because of some perceived wave of, if you're a kid and your parents go, I heard about the Tide Pods every day, something like this happens. And as a kid, you gotta be like, Mom, it's not, come on, man.
I'm not eating soap.
So I think of the people who have the unintended consequences.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, if somebody wants to eat NyQuil chicken, do whatever you want to do. You want to eat Tide Pods? Mazel tov.
It's just so expensive. NyQuil's not cheap.
It's really not.
To make NyQuil chicken, you're going to be out at least $17.
Is chicken still cheap?
Chicken's cheap, but NyQuil's not cheap.
All right.
I got the chicken, like, tender strips, not the full breast, because I have chicken insecurity. I'm always afraid I'm going to undercook my chicken. So the smaller strips, I feel like I'm more confident that they will cook all the way through. I don't know. It's a weird chicken thing. But it was less than a pound. Just under a pound was like $11.
Okay, so it is getting up there in price.
Okay.
I feel like it's pretty, not cheap.
That's not cheap.
I just assume chicken is cheap because every new restaurant is a chicken restaurant.
You don't even know that they're using chicken, though.
I mean, they better be. That's their whole thing. But Raising Cane's and, well.
Might not be all white meat or whatever.
Well, I mean that. I just mean chicken.
Like, I got, like, boneless, skinless, hand-trimmed. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You're gross.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, every new place, Raising Cane's, they're opening up one right next to our old radio station. Right there in Rockside. They're opening up one out near where I live. It's a place called Slim Chickens. All these places, they just sell tenders and wings. So I gotta believe chicken's cheap. If they're mass producing so much that these fast food retail joints can just open up location after location after location. Alan, my family was so poor we had that Tussin chicken.
Tussin.
What's next? Heroin ham? I will be fine with rum ham, thank you very much. Nothing's going to top rum ham.
Oh, I love getting ripped as word for poop on,
on rum ham. Mmm.
Hell yeah.
Delicious.
I always thought that was weird when I would see on TV, like when they would do like a quick recipe and they would pour wine. And I don't know that that's ever happened in my household. I don't think we've ever had a recipe where my mom had to pour like wine into a crock pot or wine into a skillet. Is that like about a part of like normal cooking?
You mean like cooking sherry and cooking wine? I mean, there is cooking wine.
I guess I don't know the difference.
Like if you're making like wine, a Chateaubriand or something, I think you cook that in red wine.
Is it alcoholic?
Yeah, there's it's cooking wine. Yeah,
I didn't know but that there was really a cooking wine,
but it cooks off.
Yeah,
and it's not medicinal. I mean, if you're cooking NyQuil chicken. Huh.
Yeah, I saw that in like a Queen Latifah movie. Like she's looking after like this TV cooking show. And it's like, pour a little bit of wine in there. And then she's like, no, I don't want to do too much. And he's like, pour a lot in there. And then she's like, all right, I'll put a little bit more.
Queen Latifah. I don't know who that is. I'm familiar with Shaquifa McLeod, but I don't know.
The queen.
I know Teen Laquifa.
What about Queef Latina?
Yeah. So, anyway. Alan, there's a whole generation of kids who grew up eating nothing but chicken fingers and French fries. Those people are now adults. And that's why those places are open. Listen,
I think that's a whole generation, or do you think that's
just all people?
That's, all kids.
That's,
well,
no, that's like every age group has people like that.
Well, but I think to their point, it's much more likely that if you're a kid, what's on the kids' menu? Chicken fingers, French fries.
Yeah, know. But I think that's kid to kid and a wealth thing as well. Like if all your family could afford were Happy Meals, then sure, you're either going to like burgers or chicken.
But I also know plenty of adults that are older than me that still eat that way.
That's what he's saying. Yeah. Is that that's all they've eaten their entire life. So now that's
their like adults that. And that's
but they have money. They could eat whatever they want. They want chicken fingers. Tom Segura talks about this with his mom. They go to like 5-star like Michelin restaurants and she's like, do they have chicken fingers?
Right. Well, again, to this person's point, that's why these places are blowing up. And I haven't gone into one of them, but it's not because I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't gone in. Those places intimidate me.
Why? There's two options.
Yeah, but they go, what sauce do you want? Here's 40. I go,
you say barbecue or whatever sauce you enjoy.
Or their special sauce. You're intimidated by his sauce choices?
What?
He doesn't like sauce.
No, no,
I don't. Sauce anxiety?
If I'm going to get chicken tenders or whatever, of course I'll get a sauce.
What sauce would you normally get?
But I can get, here's what I'm saying. I could do barbecue sauce at home.
So don't get freaked out.
I'm not freaked out. I'm saying that if I go up there, because I can't take all day. I got to go. I'd have to go online and see what they do, and then I'd go in and know what I was doing. But it's like, you see people, I'm not going to be that guy. So
make them give you a little spoon taster, like at the ice cream.
Oh, everybody loves that person.
Every single sauce.
Everybody loves that person. Could I get a little spoon? Oh, Christ. Yes.
A lot of them have their own sauce that you just get that. Like you get the cane sauce.
Mm-hmm.
It's good sauce.
Chick-fil-A sauce.
Chick-fil-A sauce. Good stuff. Or you get the Polynesian sauce from Chick-fil-A. Good sauce. Not a lot of sauces are going to leave you unhappy.
I'm a fan of Chick-fil-A sauce and barbecue mixed together.
I also would be upset if I made the wrong choice.
How do you know it's the wrong
choice? Well, the good news is
you don't like it.
If you make the wrong choice, you can just go, oh, give me a couple different sauces, and that way you have a lot of options.
Try a new one and get one you know you like, like barbecue. I'll have a house signature sauce and a barbecue, please.
All right. Thank you.
You got extra sauce money.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah, people go, Moneybags Allen doesn't think chicken's expensive. Nuggets for my kids went up to $4 a bag. Listen, I buy that same stuff for my kid. I just don't know how much it costs.
Because you're not paying attention.
Yeah,
I'm not
paying attention. I guess I just proved you right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because people were saying that the avian flu is making chicken expensive. All I'm saying is I assumed that mass-produced... Listen, if you're just selling wings and tenders and you're... your chain is blowing up, that tells me you're not paying a ton of money for chicken.
But we also aren't discussing the quality of chicken.
I know, and we are not buying it in bulk. I understand that. I'm just...
Maybe you're not.
Alan, my mom works 3 jobs. I live off chicken fingers. I'm 27 now, and I still live off chicken, and I hate it. You could do a hell of a lot worse than living off chicken, quite frankly. It's just that it's pumped so full of hormones now that, you know, you got preschoolers getting boobs eating chicken tenders. Chicken tenders and tartar sauce.
Ugh.
Now you're speaking my lingo jingo jango. Yeah, why not?
It's like the first time I saw someone dip their french fries in mayonnaise. I was like, whoa.
That's not for me, but that's a very, very European thing. If you ask for ketchup overseas for your french fries, because fries are with everything, it's like Europe's like one big Pittsburgh. You know, you go over there and it's all frites that comes with everything you order.
That's actually their new travel slogan.
Paris, the new Pittsburgh.
Europe. Come to Europe. It's just one big Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's right. You want to go to the Eiffel Tower?
I was working at House of Blues, so this is like 2012 or 2013, and my manager was dipping her fries in mayonnaise. And that was the first, so 10 years ago was the first time I was like, what the hell is this?
Some people love it. But if you like french fries and you like mayonnaise, what's the problem?
Yeah. I don't see mayonnaise as a dipping condiment. I see it as like a spread for a sandwich, and that's about it. I've never dipped anything in mayonnaise. But
you're just reversing the process. Instead of putting food into mayonnaise, you're putting mayonnaise into your food.
I'm also a scooper, so I use a lot of sauce. So like when I don't really dip, I scoop, and I couldn't imagine, it's like making my mouth feel gross even talking about like scooping mayonnaise. And
a big old glob of mayonnaise on here.
Yep. Yeah, when we lived in Ohio City and used to go to Happy Dog all the time, I didn't worry about the sauces. Because I go, give me one of each.
They do have a lot of great.
Yes, of course.
For your tots.
Didn't have to worry about it. Alan, you can make shake and bake and lemon Theraflu packets and make lemon chicken.
There you go.
I love it. I love these like low-key ways people are like getting high or changing their perspective.
Sleepy.
NyQuil chicken. That to me sounds like something you're trying to serve on a first date when you're trying to impress her / possibly assault her. Oh, what is this? I'm feeling sleepy.
Here's some green chicken.
Is it menthol chicken? What is it?
Yeah.
Why does this taste like a Newport?
Oh, man. It's really cleared up my sinuses, too.
Our apologies to second shifters.
All right, here we go, everybody. Let's get to work.
This is no way to start your day.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Can't tell a friggin' thing they're singing, but this is the official Space Force song. Everybody forgets now that we have a new arm of the military, the Space Force, and this is their song. And the U.S. Air Force Band, because I think this is part of the Air Force. I feel like the Marines are part of the Navy. Yeah, there you go. It's called Semper Supra, which means always above. So for people who are waiting to get their hands on some of that Space Force merch, but you're like, well, I don't feel good wearing anything. You know how like Bill has a side hustle at NASA?
No. I just shopped there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been severely misinformed.
It happens from time to time.
The Space Force song has been officially released. So there you go. Nothing to do with the former Steve Carell show, Space Force, with our friend Roy Wood Jr. And unfortunately, it didn't really do what they hoped it would do for anybody who watched Space Force when that was on Netflix. Had a lot of great people in it, but there was something about it that wasn't really clicking with a lot of people. Unlike The Patient. I know you're watching The Patient.
We just watched the new episode last night.
Patient's great.
What's The Patient about?
Very good.
It's about a guy who is trying to stop his urge to kill, and he kidnaps his therapist and chains him up in his basement in an attempt to get him to really focus in on And Donald Gleason is actually the real life son of Brendan Gleason. We were just talking about
him. Okay.
Donald Gleason is the actor. He was in Ex Machina and he's been in a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. He plays Sam, who is the killer. And Steve Carell is his therapist.
It's so good.
It's like a play. Like there's one set kind of in that basement.
Yeah.
And there's like a little bit of other scenes they've shot, but it's a very tightly kind of controlled vibe.
Check it out.
It's so good.
Yeah. How many episodes are there so far?
It's only one a week and they're like 22 minutes.
This was
this was episode four.
You got to wait week to week.
We'll catch up on that in no time.
Brian just got the Shudder app as, as a horror fanatic does. We are 0-2 on Shudder original content.
Really? I thought you liked Slacks.
Well, we watched Slacks, which is about a murderous pair of jeans.
Yeah, which is, I thought, really funny.
Well, I think I just don't understand it because I can't tell. I can't tell if it's being funny. Was it written to be funny or were they trying to,
Yeah, but who cares? Like if you had a good time with the movie, right?
I guess. And then the one we tried to watch last night was called Bloody Hell. I don't know if you've seen that
one. I liked Bloody Hell.
Another one where I'm like, I just don't think that horror comedies are for me.
It's all over the place. Yes. Yeah,
like
I know.
He's talking to himself and he's hung up in a basement. He breaks the kid. It's like all over the place.
Here's the thing, though. But if you don't like horror comedies, you're also not going to be watching like the super scary bloody movies either.
No.
You want suspenseful ones.
I like suspense, psychological thrillers.
Watch The Dark and the Wicked.
Okay, we will.
There's some gross stuff in it.
We've only had two nights with this app, so we have watched two movies.
Shudder's dynamite.
Well, that's what I've heard. And Brian was scrolling through yesterday. He's like, dude, there are so many things on here.
Yeah.
Like, so many options.
The Creepshow anthology, when they rebooted Creepshow, that's good. Those are episodes.
I think I'm going to just start at the beginning of horror and watch all the classics. I've never seen, like, Halloween all the way through. I've never seen any of those, like, the original Friday the 13th or any of that, you know? The first Poltergeist.
We were talking about Channel Zero. You should watch that. That's episodic. Channel Zero is fun. But yeah, they have a great... There was a horror channel that used to be called Chiller. I think it was like a cable channel. Like if you subscribed, Chiller might be on your package. And that folded, and I think part of it was folded into Shudder. But Shudder's an app. And I was kind of off it for a long time, but like within the last month or so, I've been watching tons of stuff on Shudder.
Well, it's spooky season, so that makes sense.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah,
spooky season. Halloween's not even on my brain. I don't care about Halloween.
The weather is changing.
Not really. It's 82 degrees today.
Today's the last hot day, though. It's going to be in the 60s like the rest of the week.
Yeah. 50s
next week.
I got some
flannels ordered. I'm excited.
You ordered flannels?
Yeah.
Huh.
Get some fall clothing going.
All right.
I went to the store the other day, and the girl did not ring up my flannel. And that felt like a win for me.
What does that mean? She didn't ring it up.
That means she stole it.
I didn't steal anything.
Did you inform her she didn't ring up your flannel?
Sure didn't. Not going to either.
Because that's her job to ring it up.
It's her job to ring it up, and it's a huge box store. They make millions and billions of dollars every day.
That's how you rationalized it in your head.
100%.
Yeah.
If I get something for free, I'm like, sorry. She's not going to get fired for that.
I don't know what people get fired for. I assume the places are looking for reasons to fire people.
No, nobody has any workers right now.
Huh. That doesn't mean they're not looking for reasons to fire people.
I mean, I guess.
Again, I don't know if you've been in these stores. There aren't that many people working there. They might have people working stock.
Sure.
But they're trying to get as many automated. They want you working in the store now. They want as many automated checkout lines as they can possibly get.
Did you see in England at Tesco, they put in automated like self-checkouts and nobody wanted to use them. Tesco's like a...
That's their chain. That's their kind of a European grocery chain.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's a grocery chain, kind of big box store type thing too, I think. But nobody wanted to use them. So there's a line of people for the one cashier that's working to protest that they're stupid self-checkouts.
Yeah, what's the point of these stores that have 20 aisles if there's two people working?
I don't know.
I mean, that's been a complaint for a long time. Anybody that went to like Walmart, they were like, there's 20 lanes and there's two people working, even before they really ushered in the automated checkout lines. And those are rife with people stealing and things like that. You know, a lot of these big box stores, they'd rather put up three times as many cameras to catch you not scanning something.
Or deal with the loss rather than pay people.
Right. Yeah,
seriously.
Right.
Like, the shrinkage. Like, how much are we really, comparatively, how much are we losing paying this person a salary or a yearly amount, even if it's only $25,000 a year? Are we losing more than that from self-checkout theft?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, listen, if you're a business, that's a logical cost-benefit analysis. Yeah. But if you're a customer, it ain't good for the overall UX. So, anywho,
if you
Mary got a free
out,
shirt.
If you were checking out and you noticed they didn't ring something up, you would say something?
I would. I'm that guy. I'm not saying I'm that's just me. It's just how I'm wired. I don't like to feel like I'm stealing.
You're
I don't
not
like
stealing.
Yes, I am.
How?
Because I didn't pay for it.
But it's not your fault.
That doesn't matter. I still, it doesn't change the fact that I didn't pay for it.
You get out of the store. That's what happened. I was like, that total seemed low. And I got out of the store. And once I got into my car, I checked the bag and I realized that she hadn't scanned it. So are you going back in to say, hey, you didn't scan this? I would like to pay for this flannel.
Yeah.
You're going to leave the parking lot, walk all the way back through, get in line again and tell them, you messed up. Instead of being like, you know what? I'm going to take it.
I just don't. I didn't pay for it.
Okay.
I just don't feel, I wouldn't want somebody taking something from me.
But it's an honest mistake.
Huh?
It's an honest mistake on her part.
Not
on
your part.
She's going to get in trouble.
Not on your part.
No, I'm already in my car though. I'm not going
back all. This is all I'm saying. To me, it doesn't matter what the other person did or didn't do. Like if they double charged me, I go, hey, you double charged me. Take this off, right? I pay for it one time.
get one amount of payment.
That's right. If I paid for it zero times, I would say, hey, you know, that's just me. I'm not saying it's better or worse.
I don't like that.
I'm saying I don't like feeling
you don't like that he wants to be honest?
Yes.
But you're the one that hates liars the most.
I'm not lying about anything. What am I lying about?
You're taking advantage of someone else's mistake.
Correct.
And I'm not even saying you're wrong. It is their job to do their job. But you're asking me, and I'm saying I would tell him you didn't bring this up.
You would go back, because I noticed when I got into my car.
You can ask me this however many ways you want to ask me.
Would you go back in, Bill? Would you go back into this?
I have.
Go back into the store to pay for
it. Yes, because I also don't like to take things.
Cody? I already know his answer. Nah, bitch, that's a free shirt.
You know what I mean?
The two poorest people.
They're not going to miss it.
That's what I mean.
But I don't.
But it's not about that.
People can rationalize it however they want. And I'm not even saying you're wrong. I fully get why somebody would go free shirt.
If a store that habitually overcharges, that makes billions of dollars a year, why would you feel guilty?
You chose to shop there.
Sure, but I don't feel guilty when your customer, when your employee doesn't ring something up.
I'm not making other people's decisions. It's not up to me what their profit margins are. What I'm saying is, if I wasn't charged for something and I took it, I would feel weird about that
To like a boutique, and it's this like this woman running the cash register. This is her place, and it's a small business. Absolutely, I will 100% say, "Hey, you forgot to charge me for that," or I would go back in. But a big store like that.
Listen, you're making the case a lot of people would make, which is that it's a matter of degree.
Yes,
I'm saying I don't care if it's at Walmart or if it's at a little spot in Lakewood. If I got something and I didn't pay for it, I would feel weird about that, and I would say, hey, you didn't ring me up. And you know what? Sometimes.
Nope, they're not giving it to you for free.
You don't, at Walmart, using your logic, the person's going to go, hey, go ahead. I guarantee you, if you go in at a big box store, you think she wants to do all that work again? Hell no, because she knows. She goes, look, that lady's not making one extra dime per hour.
That's my whole point.
But you're proving my point.
But there, if you went back in. She's going to look at you and be like, why are you here?
Right. And she'll go.
She's going to say, go back out. Don't even.
Okay, fine. But at least I went through.
You tried is what you're saying.
I tried. If she says, don't worry about it. Because that has happened too. That has happened to me. She goes, okay, cool. Okay, I'm just letting you know.
And then your conscience is clear.
That's right. Okay. Because she knows and I know. And if she goes.
See, me and Cody, and let me speak for you, Cody, because I feel like you agree. Mm-hmm. We see that as a little gift from the universe. We're like, hey, good looking out. I did need that extra $17.
This is how people use made-up otherworldly forces to justify their own bad behavior.
Not
but that's not bad behavior.
I didn't do anything wrong.
It's stealing.
That's not stealing.
You, It doesn't matter. This is,
I love how we are so insane.
Because in a different this room, is the same. Matter. This is we're the insane. Same as the Brinks truck on the highway yes. that opens up. It's not your money.
But that's not stealing.
It is, because it's not anything that's not yours that you take.
Just
you stole
like I
it.
Said about Adam Levine anything and his wife you, have an open relationship.
Anything same. You it doesn't matter what the other person's doing. Anything you took and didn't pay for, you stole.
No.
And I know this because I took things when I was a kid and I got in trouble and I got my mouth washed out with soap and I had to go back to the lady and go, I took this Snickers
technically,
bar.
Technically, I didn't steal it. Technically, she stole it.
There's no technically.
Yes, she's the one who didn't ring it up. It's not my job to ring it up. She stole it and handed it to me and I accepted stolen goods. I'll give you that.
That's your crime, too.
But I didn't style it.
You know accepting stolen goods is a crime.
I'm not going to go to jail for as long.
Listen, I'm not even telling you guys you're wrong. I completely understand where you're coming from. I understand the logic. I'm not stupid. I would just feel weird. I would just feel weird. Mary's right. The cost of a human paying plus training plus insurance plus HR costs is more than the loss from the self-checkout. And this is not a Moneybags Allen thing. It doesn't. It is. It's not.
Must be nice.
You know, it's not like I've been making tons of money my whole career. I was like dirt
no, just
poor
the
up
last
until
20
like
years of it.
15 years. But, you know, but I'm old.
Yeah.
I didn't start making money until I was in my mid-30s, for Christ's sake. So, but I'm the same way. Like, some things I just feel weird about. Other things, you'd be surprised to know, I really don't feel weird at
okay.
all. But
have,
something like that, I would feel weird about.
Do you have a limit? If it's an item that was scanned for $5, are you going to go in the same amount as if it was scanned for $100. Doesn't
yes.
matter how much the product was. If they forget to scan a candy bar for $1.50, are you going back in like, hey, you didn't scan my candy bar? Or you're like, man, it's just candy bar.
Well, I'm not buying candy bars, Mary. Well,
yeah, exactly. A Mountain Dew, whatever. It's a liquid candy bar.
That's true. If I noticed that
something
they-
cheap, under $5, are you going back in for under $5? You get to the car and you realize, because you didn't even notice it. It was minuscule.
It was what?
Minuscule. It's the same thing.
I'm just kidding.
Oh. A couple dollars.
Maybe not. I don't know.
So then it's not a matter of morality then. Because if it's less money.
You asked me.
And I'm asking
would you feel
you.
Weird? And I said yes.
I'm trying to find logic in this.
I'm giving you logic.
Logic
you're trying
is that
to
he'd feel
you're,
bad.
You're trying to find at what point everybody is comfortable stealing like you
it's
and Cody.
It's not stealing.
It is.
It's accepting stolen goods.
That's a crime.
Would you go back in for a $2 candy bar?
I mean, I probably already ate it, so.
It's stealing adjacent.
It's stealing respectfully, right?
Yeah, right. Cheating respectfully in a retail establishment. Yeah.
I mean.
Alan, it's a test, and now Mary won't advance in the afterlife.
Whatever.
Listen, fortunately.
That's the worst thing I do
real
in
test
my
is,
life.
And by the way, the guy who doesn't even believe in that claptrap is walking back in to tell him I didn't, and you, who were like trying to get to the higher plane of whatever, is taking shirts. Stealing slacks.
Accepted.
Stolen goods. A crime. I don't know how many times I can say it. How about going back in, somebody says, buying the same shirt and then giving the free one to a homeless person? Well, here's the problem with that. What if the homeless person doesn't have your sense of style?
Right, and they're like,
what if it's just not there? Right. They're like, what? You think because I'm out here and I'm unhoused, I have to take whatever crap you throw at me? Right. Maybe I don't want an Italian beef. Thank you very much.
I do. I love an Italian beef.
They are good. Yeah. So I'm not even saying there's a right and a wrong here because I fully understand where you guys are coming from. I'm sure everybody will tell me that I'm a jagoff. I would feel weird about it. Hey, Emily.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, hey, I was gonna say, I went into Walmart, that happened to me, I don't know, a few days ago, and I went into Walmart where I live, and I was,
you live in Walmart?
Standing like, I live in Walmart where I live, and, I was scanning some stuff, and my husband was gonna pay for the groceries, and I'll pay for, like, everything else, I was getting some stuff for my house. So I started scanning the groceries, and it was like, I don't know, it came up to like $30. Well, then I scanned something, and the register didn't work. So I was, I just kept scanning. I'm like, okay, well, I wasn't paying attention. I'm just wanting to hurry up. I got my kids. I want to hurry up and get out of there, you know. Well, I don't know, like $30, $40, I think, I think I missed because when my husband like went to go pay, he's like, we had a lot of groceries for $30. He's like, what is that, right? And I said, I don't know. And then after I looked at it and figured it out, I was like, well, that's not my fault. The register, you know, didn't scan my items, and then the thing.
I understand all that. I understand all that, and plus, you got your kids there. I fully understand all that.
Yeah.
And Emily, where are you calling from?
Wait.
Stop.
Canton.
The authorities are on their way.
I have your phone number. I sent it to them.
How big's a rat? You know that.
Wait until they find out that you're residing in a Walmart with children. All right. Thank you, Emily. Alan, I called the store when I got home and said I'd drop the money off tomorrow. Now, here's what I'm saying. I think 9 times out of 10, they're going to tell you, don't worry about it. But at least you've told them, you might, if you care about it, you might feel a little bit better. If you had gone back and told them, I bet they would have said,
screw them.
Screw who?
The store.
I agree.
Screw them.
No, I get it.
Screw them.
I do get it.
Well, and I don't want to say.
It's only stealing if you catch me. I'm walking
also,
through.
Also, you're not the one. It's not like I went in, grabbed it, and walked out with it. And just didn't even try to pay for it. I tried to pay for it. The other
no, I understand. I understand the story.
I've had that happen with merch before, where I'll like sign a CD for somebody, hand it to them, and then we get caught up in conversation, and they walk off, and I don't even think about it until after the fact. I'm like, I don't think that guy paid for a CD.
But you're not happy about that.
I mean, it's whatever. It's like, sure, whatever. Sometimes.
Well, then just give away all your CDs.
No, that's not the same thing. One accident every now and then. Not that mad about it. There was an employee continuously not ringing things up
because
on purpose.
For you, it's a matter of degree.
Yeah.
If I realized I didn't pay for your CD, I'd hit you up and go, hey, I didn't pay you for this.
Sure.
And I imagine you'd be appreciative.
But would you chase someone down for not paying for your merch? Hey, you didn't pay me. No, you're going to let him go.
Well, that's fine.
Stop him and smash it right in front of him. So, you know, you get this. You didn't pay for it.
Good thing it's not available for streaming anywhere.
Yeah. Alan, this is why I won't let my wife check out. Because her Denison-ness kicks in and she don't want to pay for the pop under the cart or something. Denison-ness. We're over there on Memphis Avenue. I ain't paying for no diet tab that's underneath.
Buzzer.
The home of the buzzer.
Buzzer. This is 100.7 WMMS.
Cleveland.
The Alan Cox Show.
Listening to the show doesn't make you a bad person. That thing in the footlocker at the end of your bed, that makes you a bad person.
MMS.
The Buzzard.
These guys are coming too, Smashing Pumpkins. Maybe I will have, more tickets for that show. Remains to be seen. Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction. Meg Myers is opening that show. They're going to do the Romo Fijo on the 29th of next month. That is a big, big tour. Friends of mine at my old station in Chicago are posting some video of the hometown show they did last night, and it looked like a lot of fun. Sounded great. Billy Corgan's basically just a tall Fester.
I think Fester's pretty tall, too.
Yeah.
He's just musical Fester.
Sorry, musical Fester. Was Fester tall? I think of Lurch.
Lurch was tall.
Was Lurch Fester
was really tall? But Fester was still, I think, in the movies he was played by Christopher Lloyd, and I think Christopher Lloyd's around 6'1".
Okay.
He's
like 5'8".
Yeah.
Pretty tall.
Tell me who Christopher Lloyd is.
Christopher Lloyd is Back to the Future and the Pagemaster.
Okay.
Pagemaster.
Wow.
I actually knew him from the Pagemaster. I've never seen Back to the Future.
Not Jim Ignatowski from Taxi?
Nope. He is.
You've never seen Back to the Future?
No.
Somebody came to me this morning and they were like,
great movie.
I'm in one of the conference rooms doing some work and one of the, Curtis just comes in. He goes, you've never seen The Jerk? And I go, I know. It's one of those movies I've kind of stopped myself from watching. It's one of Gwen's. She loves The Jerk. But here's the problem with a movie like The Jerk. I'm like, everybody loves that movie because they saw it when they were a kid.
Yeah.
And if I see it now, I don't want to be like, this is terrible.
That's
because I love Steve Martin. And I know his early stuff is very, very silly. But
Goodfellas. I saw Goodfellas and I was like, this is a, I feel like a teenage boy, early 20s male thing.
That's objectively a great movie.
I couldn't stand it. There was a lot of sexism.
Well, I think it's a dude movie.
It's for sure a dude movie. And I had so many men in my life that I knew, friends, whatever, comics, best movie of all time, greatest movie ever created. I'm like, yo, this movie low-key sucks, like, to be honest.
Well, but do you like mob movies?
I don't mind them. I like to analyze this.
Not a mob movie.
That's not the one.
But like The Godfather.
I've never seen it.
Okay. Casino.
I saw the part where Joe Pesci gets beat with a bat. Does he get beat with a bat in a cornfield? Or he's beating someone with a bat in a cornfield?
He's beating someone with a cornfield.
No, he gets beat with a bat in a cornfield.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. And of course, he gets killed in Goodfellas and the whole bit.
What a funny guy.
But I think those movies might not be... It's rare that you'll meet a girl or a woman. She's like, oh, God, I love Goodfellas.
It's the same reason I didn't like Mad Men.
A woman who is not of Italian descent.
Right.
You know, Gwen and I were talking about, because there's a couple of shows we're watching... We just started Reboot on Hulu, which is so far pretty funny. But we're like, maybe we should go back and find an older show that we can binge. And Mad Men comes up a lot, but I never watched it. The Americans, somebody else said was real good.
I heard The Americans was great. I never watched
that. We're not going to do Game of Thrones because I don't.
It's not worth it.
But I like Jon Hamm a lot. He's in the new Fletch movie, which I think is in theaters. It's not streaming yet, but I think it's out. And, but yeah, I like Jon Hamm a lot. So maybe Mad Men and that Christina Hendricks.
Oh my God.
Va, 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 voom. Holy mackerel. We're going to get to the pound cake sports break in a minute. Congratulations, by the way, to the great Joe Haden, who's signing a 1-day contract so that he can retire as a Cleveland Brown. He, of course, spent the last, how many, 4 or 5 seasons as a Pittsburgh Steeler. But he was here for the first 7 of his career. And Joe Haden, people loved him when he was here. They loved him in Pittsburgh. I guess they couldn't make a deal. I think this sounds like a retirement because he's like, well, they can't come up with a new deal for me. But he is going to retire as a Cleveland Brown. The guy made a lot of money, by the way. Congratulations to him. He made his career earnings around $121 million. He made 75 of it with the Browns and about 46 and a half with the Steelers. He played 158 games. That's about $768,000 a game on average over the course of his career. He made, I hope he invested it wisely. He seemed like a cheery guy. I never met Joe Haden. The guys, when we used to be the Browns station, earlier in my tenure here at MMS, I used to do a lot of player events. But there were all those guys that were here for like a year, whatever the flavor of the month was.
Every quarterback?
I did like a Q&A with Trent Richardson. Remember that guy?
No.
Yeah.
Running back.
Yeah.
And very...
I was always talking to somebody.
More of a public speaker that also played running back. You could give a lot of TED Talks and stuff like that.
He's Trent Talks, I believe he called them. Pound Cake, are you ready?
Hang on 1 second. I had to grab my phone.
Yeah, that's fine.
It startled me. It was like I got electrocuted. Yeah, 1 second. Okay, now I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Play ball! This is a Pound Cake
in the headlines today, this is kind of a cute moment. Sports commentator Scott Van Pelt was on the podcast Slow News Day yesterday, and he was chatting with the host, and they made note of Scott's new puppy, Red, who was moseying around in the background, and all of a sudden, Red takes a huge dump on the hardwood floor. You have to see the video. It's utterly hilarious and a clear indication that the podcast was boring AF. Only a puppy can take a dump because he's completely disinterested in what you're saying, and we think it's cute. Oh, to be a dog. Also, Beyond Meat COO Doug Ramsey has been arrested for biting a man's nose. How does this tie into sports, you ask? It all happened after a Razorback game. Yay! Doug left the stadium allegedly in good spirits after his team beat Missouri State. Then a guy pulled out of a parking spot next to Doug a little too fast, and that is what set him off. Doug punched through the back windshield and then proceeded to bite off the tip of the driver's nose. Beyond Meat indeed. Imagine if this team lost. You know? And then lastly, University of Oregon had to issue an apology because some of their students were filmed chanting F the Mormons during the Ducks game against BYU last Saturday. A school spokesperson said, quote, the chant was offensive and disgraceful, and there's no place for hate, bias, bigotry, or otherism in our community. This is Oregon, after all, not Alabama. Do we want to be like those mouth breathers? These snobby white boys should know better. And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes this Pound Cake Sports Break.
Play ball!
This is a Pound Cake Sports Break.
That Beyond Meat story is hilarious.
It's so crazy. Nuts,
sometimes the jokes write themselves.
I literally have Beyond Meat in my fridge for tonight to cook.
Like. I have Beyond Meat in my portfolio, and it is not doing well right now.
Is that conflict of interest
taking
now?
A nosedive.
Now that you know where your money's going, you can support that? A man that supports violence and biting off people's nose?
I don't know why these guys can't stay out of their way, their own way. Like, this guy just got the Beyond Meat gig. He was with Tyson Foods for a long time, right? He's like, I'm getting called up to the big show. Not like Tyson Foods is small potatoes.
Tyson...
It's massive.
Way bigger. Yeah.
Well, but still, if you're planning for the future, you know, it makes sense to... They're shutting down plants all over the place with these other... Anyway, he just got the gig. Arrested for terroristic threatening and third-degree battery. Biting a guy's nose.
He punched through the... But he had to be pissed. He punched through the guy's windshield. I think there's more to this.
He literally had to be pissed. Yeah. This guy must have been drunk as all get out.
Because someone, like, bumped into him. It wasn't even, like, it was, like, his wheel, not even his car.
The story says there was no...
damage, right?
No one touched anybody. The guy got close to his car backing out, which I can understand that. I can understand why that would give you anxiety. But if he got out clean...
Nah, people are angry. There's people who are just so ready to be violent. And I mean, it's insane.
There's no upside to it.
No.
That's crazy.
Like, you're either going to beat somebody up and get an assault charge, you're going to kill them, and then you're in a whole other kind of hell. He's been the operating, the COO of Beyond Meat since December.
So not even a year.
No. And the Beyond Meat stock is off a cliff. I've been watching it. He spent 30 years at Tyson Foods overseeing their poultry, and he also worked for McDonald's.
Is he fired? Did they?
Doesn't, they are not commenting on it, but I bet he is.
That Vic dude got officially fired from the station.
Titty Vic Faust?
Yeah.
From the TV and the radio station.
Right. I'm pretty sure it was happening.
That's how you lose both games.
But now it's like official that he's fired from both, and the story, the place that I heard it from, there's a bunch of people commenting like, this guy, you know, good riddance. And most people are happy that he got fired. But then one comment was weird.
Where are these comments?
It's SE Radio Jock on Instagram.
Oh, this is like a message board or something.
It's an Instagram page, and it's S word for poop, Radio Jock.
Oh, okay.
And,
oh yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, okay.
And one of the people posted like, yeah, maybe the guy's an a-hole, but he got fired for words, not actions, words.
God.
And I replied, I'm like, you can get fired for words if you say the wrong words over the air because you took the action of saying those. And abuse, even verbal, is an action. So you think it's okay to talk to people that way?
You don't have to bite the tip of someone's nose off to get, like, lose your job. They didn't file charges against him. They fired him.
They fired him. And you can be verbally abusive. Like, that is a thing. I don't know why more people, especially in industries like the restaurant industry and service industry, why people aren't recording bosses and owners more, because there's so much of that there. Mm-hmm. And it's so it and it
but they don't have HR departments either.
Well, you right, do, but it's usually like removed. You get like there's if
you're working for like a chain restaurant,
right.
But even if you're not, you can still publicly post it and be like, "Hey, this is how this owner of this restaurant talks to their employees."
Well, that's what happened with Town Hall.
It shouldn't happen anymore,
right? No? But look what happened there. Not much.
Yeah.
You know, the people who own these places, if they're local, they're just like, hey, like it or bite it. You might fire one guy, but if it's rampant, they'll be like, you want a job here or not?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
You make a lot of money. That's
But I bet you anything that the women at Fox 2 in St. Louis are, I bet they're not crying that this guy's gone either.
No.
Because if he's like that off the air on his radio show, he's absolutely like that behind the scenes over at the TV station. Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. If you can get yourself into like a TV and a radio thing, like when Mark Nolan was on the radio and the TV. I mean, Nolan's a great example of a guy. You can't find a nicer guy than Mark Nolan. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're hard-pressed to find a dude in this business who's nicer than that guy.
Even if he
wasn't,
if he wasn't
like a pal of mine, like, he's just he's an objectively, like, good dude.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But I've been lucky. I mean, this is the only radio job I've ever had, but I've never seen anybody like that. I've never heard anything like that. And if anybody were to talk to me or anybody around me that way, I would immediately put a stop to it.
Well, times change too, because Cleveland, WMMS is the first station I've ever worked for where there wasn't somebody like that there. And back in the day, you just got screamed at. And if you were trying to come up in the business, you took it, and that's what toughened you up, and that's just what it was. Because if you didn't want to do it, you had 10 people waiting behind you to do it. But, yeah, times, it should never be a thing that is tolerated.
Shouldn't be a part of the workplace, in any workplace. Right. I don't care what you do. Screaming at somebody like that, especially off the air for nothing. Like, she made a joke about him not being able to work the computer, and he just berates her and was obviously doing it on a regular basis. It's just insane.
Here's the other part of it, though.
That he thinks he's even allowed to talk to anybody that way.
Here's the other part of it, though. If his co-host had been a dude, the dude probably would have taken it. Because this girl, who's a mom, she's got kids, because he was famously saying he felt sorry for her kids because they have an awful mom. I mean, this guy was digging deep.
Yeah.
And if it had been a dude, that dude probably wouldn't have released audio of getting screamed at by another guy. So there's, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying guys being who we are,
I just go live in the moment. Like, if somebody was screaming at me, because I can't get physical, I can't do anything like that. I'd just be like, all right, I'm going to go on Instagram live and let people hear this guy screaming.
If you knew you were on your way out.
No. If I knew, if you were to scream at me like that, I would just go, over something that is not, I didn't do anything wrong. You're just screaming at me in
that manner.
For making
fun of you.
Yeah, for, teasing you on air in, a lighthearted way. I would just go live on Instagram and, just leave my phone right here. And just,
I have, in all candor, I have told Bill he's a horrible mother before. But I regret my
words. Doing my best, all right? I'm trying to get the pills so I can lactate. So
you can breastfeed the dog.
Yeah.
Me, because I was dealing with the computer.
Chris was, too. It wasn't just me. No, Chris wasn't. Yes, he said, oh, my God, it's going to be here in 3 weeks.
He didn't say anything on air.
Yes, he did. Go back and listen. He was laughing when I did it.
You have a history of attacking me on air, and Chris
knows. No, I don't. You have a history of attacking me on air. Are you kidding?
You and your big fat looking at don't come back.
Really? You're not my boss. Well,
and I'll call you a every day.
Okay, good.
You're
for
a fat, self-righteous.
That's
me. And every day that you come in this studio, I will call you what you are.
Oh.
Fat, nasty bitch. And
okay.
The only reason you have this job is because of me.
Nick, stop.
Okay.
Stop.
Wow. You know,
I've told Chris five times about.
Understand.
And by the way, I reported your nasty five times a Chris.
Anyway, it's just, it's wild. Wild. Yeah, it takes a certain kind of person, irrespective of what business you're in. It takes a certain kind of person to be fine unloading on someone like that.
Yeah.
Of course, his response on social media was, I'm very sorry. My words hurt Crystal, my colleagues and family. I made a huge mistake, and I'm ashamed.
Yeah, but he was doing it. This obviously wasn't the first time he's done this.
This was a five-minute-long tirade. As I work to earn trust again, I hope we can have an open dialogue about respect in the workplace and forgiveness. My mistake is not my kids. Please respect their privacy. I don't know why I assumed this was a single dude.
Because he's not exuding any type of leadership skills.
But
I mean,
but imagine this being this guy's wife, unless they're divorced and he's got kids, and I don't know. But holy mackerel.
Call the Alan Cox Show.
Girls, this is your opportunity right here. A nice boy, let me tell you that.
216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
Send me a text to alancoxshow.com. You want to watch live there. Listen on the iHeartRadio app. If you're doing it from out of state, tell me where. Put you on our map. Trucker Sean has put down roots in Surprise, Arizona. Isaias is a new listener in Jacksonville, Florida. Gene is up in Covington, New York. Steve's one of our bureau chiefs in Hartford, Connecticut. And Melissa is way out in Seattle. Guardians will play tonight. They beat the White Sox in Chicago last night, 10-7 in extra innings. Second of three tonight, 8-10 is your first pitch here on MMS.
Hey, Alan. Hate the show. Al from Akron. I just want you to think about that maybe you should just not call them your Chicago White Sox anymore. And call them your Cleveland Guardians now, because boy, have I seen a lot of fans getting kicked out and a lot of cursing and swearing and yelling at people, and I don't see that at Guardians games. So maybe you should start calling them your Cleveland Guardians and start loving them statues. All right, Big Alan Akron, hate the show. Love you. Bye.
Listen, there are plenty of swearing. Go. What Guardians games are you going to? And that's not working against a team, by the way. I mean, since what? That's part of the game. People talking trash in the stands, yelling at each other. Nothing wrong with that. I don't have any problem with that. I love to see. God, there was a viral video that went around on Twitter. Was it a Cardinals game or a Nats game or something? Where that old lady was sitting there by herself. Just vomiting.
Oh, no, that was a Cincinnati game? Bengals game.
There's a woman in front of her in a goddamn neck brace. And her purse is under her chair. Mm. And there's a guy next to her. And the guy's turning around. And this woman, she's not projectile vomiting. She's like an older woman. But she has had way too much to drink. And she's just doing that, like, slight convulsing vomit where it's just pouring out of her mouth. And going onto this lady's purse. Yeah.
I watched it like for 10 seconds and I was like, I can't do it.
I couldn't stop watching it.
No.
I'm like, somebody's got to repost
this. It doesn't stop.
Somebody's got to repost this in reverse where she actually sucks the vomit back into her mouth.
Come on.
Yeah, she's just like, anytime you see somebody at a game like that. Now, granted, I won't lie to you. I would love to see somebody projectile vomit all over a row full of people. I think that's hilarious. I feel bad for the people who are in the path, but I think people who are in public and vomiting is hilarious. It makes me laugh anytime SNL would do an old school thing where they put the tubes in their sleeve and pretend they were vomiting. Mm-hmm. I just think it's so funny.
I
love puke.
I reposted it on Twitter if you want to see it, if you haven't seen it. And it's just, yeah, it just keeps going too. It's kind of a long... It's only 20 seconds, but it's like a lot of puke in 20 seconds.
She has had a lot to drink.
Mm-hmm. And she's unbothered by the whole thing.
So liquidy.
She's so unbothered by the whole thing. She's just like, yep, this is how you celebrate.
Sunday, baby.
Sundays are back.
Should I show this? Or is it too...
you can.
Is it a pain in the ass to put it up on the screen?
No. Well,
just go to Bill's Twitter. It's right there.
It's right there. But
watching... She's shocked. She's a lady, gray hair.
Yeah,
she's got her cheeks puff up like Dizzy Gillespie, right? That whole thing.
The surroundings do.
She's straightening her shirt
add to it with the lady with the neck brace on in front of her.
Yep.
The guy like looking back, being like, "Yeah, what are you gonna do?" And just oh.
But this poor woman, her purse is being vomited on.
Yeah.
Because she's sitting right there in front of her. I love it.
So gross.
People that go to a football game, which is not an inexpensive experience.
No.
She's wearing a jersey. The tickets cost money. Even if you're in a cheap seat, it's not cheap. The cheaper seats, maybe. Of course, what do I know? Maybe they're selling Browns tickets for $10 a pop.
Not anymore.
I don't know. But anywho, I just, you know, if somebody just sits there.
That happened one time. I think I've told this story on air before. My dad and I were at bingo, and there was this old lady, and like she was seated because they have those big, I don't know if you've ever been in a bingo hall. There's like big, long 10, 12 foot tables, right? And there's like three or four rows of them. She was like two rows over, and she was playing her cards, and she just like slumped over, and then her mouth. The best way I can describe it, have you ever seen a hydraulic press, like, push Play-Doh?
Yes.
That's what looked like was coming out of her mouth. Like, vomit was just, like, pouring out of her mouth. And everyone was like, we gotta call an ambulance. Like, we're freaking out. They get this lady on, like, a stretcher, and the bingo caller, the thing she said afterwards, she goes, okay, somebody make sure you play her cards.
We're so that was the priority.
That's what she would have wanted.
Right. She wasn't dead or anything. She was, like, diabetic or something and had some kind of a reaction, weird thing going on. And, but, yeah, that was
like... She was sniffing too many of them bingo markers.
It just made me laugh that was the caller's main concern, was like, hey, somebody play her cards for her in case she wins.
That's right. Yeah. Vomiting in public. Most of the vomiting in public I've been exposed to has been on public transportation. Not here in Cleveland, but in years past. If you're on the L or you're on a city bus or something,
I remember.
Invariably there'll be somebody sitting there who's just vomiting on themselves. You know, in a lot of instances, that's the best case scenario because it's not somebody with their pants down, you know, or somebody taking a dump in the middle of the train. If they're sitting there vomiting on themselves, you know, you can have a chuckle and then kind of move a couple of seats down.
I know a few friends of mine that have been the person vomiting on the train, and there's just nothing you can do.
Oh, God.
You're like, we'll get there soon, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, where are you going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Hmm. Yeah, that's no good. You can leave us messages on the iHeartRadio app. See a little red talk back button there.
Hey, Alan. Hate the show. From the podcast the other day, you were talking about the shortage on crunchy peanut butter. This is Anna Anonymous, by the way. So I work for a small local business called Shuckers. And we make Jif, and there was recently a recall. But don't worry, honey. All that will be back on shelf shortly. We just got to prioritize the good stuff. Love you. Bye.
Is she implying that the creamy peanut butter is the good stuff?
That's what she's implying.
You know, people love to tell me that creamy peanut butter, the majority of people who enjoy peanut butter do like creamy. And that might be fine, but it's not a huge margin. It's like 54%. It's a majority. But not a huge, it's not like 85% of people. So that gives me a little bit of hope for the country that the margin's not that huge. If that many people preferred creamy to crunchy. Voluntary recall of select Jif products.
Because what does it say about me that I don't have a preference? I like them both.
You don't care. Whatever's available.
They're both good.
Yeah. No, I don't like crunchy peanut butter at all.
If it's crunchy, that's great. If it's not crunchy, still good.
Well, at least the recall, though, that explains why there was no Jif. There were no brand name crunchy peanut butters when I went.
Well, because the recall, then everyone had to buy the other brand names. So if people who would have normally gone to Jif now have to buy Peter Pan or whatever else.
Understood. All I'm saying is there was plenty of creamy, which led me to believe that people were hoarding crunchy peanut butter.
Maybe they are, Ellen.
Don't patronize me.
Maybe there's just basements and basements full of
don't peanutronize me. Hey, I've got some vagina news if you want to hear it.
Vagina news.
Boy, leave it to the Japanese. You know, sometimes them being all weird about sex can really pay off. Because Japanese scientists have studied squirting.
It's pee.
It is pee, and anybody who tells you otherwise is hoping for something else. Here's what they found out, though. It's not all pee.
Ooh.
So, you gals, you guys who think otherwise, it is pee.
It's so weird to think about. It's just...
But they use, you know, this has been, I guess, not a source of contention, but it hasn't ever really been studied, I guess. Obviously, there is a thing that constitutes female ejaculation. Mm-hmm. There is stuff, ma'am. There is stuff.
She said, what?
Show us what you got.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, God.
There is, that is a thing. But they study this using blue dye.
Tell us all about it.
I will. And they basically determined that, okay, well, some of the stuff that we have studied here, it doesn't originate in the bladder. So it is mostly, you know, people have known about this for millennia. You know, you go back to Pythagoras and people like that, and no. They were, mm-hmm. No? You don't want to?
Pythagoras?
You don't want to know what Hippocrates' thoughts on female squirt was?
He was a
philosopher.
Guy.
Yeah, the Pythagorean theorem. Yes.
Yeah, he had other interests.
But they believed
that not a party.
They believed that it was the equivalent of, like, they thought it was just semen.
Girl semen.
Girl semen. That's right. But these Japanese scientists who injected dye into test subjects' bladders and things came to the scientific conclusion. The actual paper was called Enhanced Visualization of Female Squirting. And they determined
that. Why did it take them so long to do this?
I don't know.
I feel like this should have been, as soon as we had injectable dye, this should have been top of the list.
Yes. Let's make the descendants of Hippocrates and Pythagoras happy. They've had this millstone around their neck for centuries, not knowing what's happening. And they said, yes, of course, it is 95% pee. That when you're watching one of your favorite, if you're into that, and that's what you type in, when you're bringing up some porno, that it's girls just holding it in until the camera's on. But it's not all pee. And listen, that's something
they still
that I
put
think,
on a good show.
Yes,
talent.
It's still talent.
I even watch it because I find a large it fascinating. Spray.
I don't like it. I don't care for it at all.
Really?
Yes.
I think it's just an interesting visual.
I think it's pee. I don't want that on me. That's not some.
I like to buy into the illusion.
It's not some badge of honor.
I don't need it in real life, but if you're watching it, it's a good visual.
And it's not always a constant scream.
I don't
either.
Even think it's a good visual. A lot of fake screaming and then your hands are wet and your.
I didn't even say God. It's like it turns me on. I think it's just a fun visual.
Now, if it was coming out of their mouths and it was vomit, that would be hilarious.
I can send you some
there
links.
You go.
I just think that stuff is like educational. Like, I didn't know.
Well, it is now thanks to the Japanese.
But people want to talk about like porn is ruining our kids or whatever, but. I happen to think, I didn't know that.
Ruining our kids.
But like ruining the generation, like this generation doesn't have safe sex or whatever. I didn't know that women could ejaculate. Like I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Until I watched porn. They didn't teach us that in sex ed. I don't remember one sex ed, and believe me, I paid attention to sex ed. I don't remember one sex ed class that told us that women do that.
That's true.
Well, yeah,
you paid
attention in sex ed? How many vaginas do women have?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
Front button, back button.
Front button, back butt. So, again, leave it to the Japanese. They're really doing, they're like, we're not content with just selling used underwear and vending machines. We've got to get to the bottom of this. We've got to figure out what's going on.
And they did. And we appreciate it.
They figured it all out. And we're in their debt.
And I don't think anybody's opinion on it changed. Either you didn't like it or you did like it.
That's right.
And I think you still probably like it. Even if you go, it's 95% pee. You go, hey, okay.
Yeah. You're either pro-secretion or you're anti-secretion.
Hey, Alan, listening to the podcast from yesterday, you guys were talking about the guy who pulled out a hatchet in McDonald's. Just to point out how desensitized we are now, I guess I can only speak for myself. When I'm hearing this story, instead of going, oh my God, that's terrible,
It's what is going on with this world? I went, I want McDonald's. So that's where I'm headed now.
You know who I think would be a great person to throw into a McDonald's ad? It would serve twofold because, you know, they say there's no such thing as bad press. And people can argue over that in the age of social media where bad press can be so pervasive. It's not just going to run in a newspaper for a couple of days. It sticks around. But anytime somebody's talking about you, even that video we're talking about where the guy in the Lower East Side Manhattan McDonald's at 2 a.m. pulls a hatchet out of his backpack and starts destroying the place. It makes McDonald's trend. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking there's a way they can really get people talking and also help redeem someone who's currently on the outskirts of public opinion. Army Hammer.
Get him in there.
Do a McDonald's ad with Army Hammer. This, this is so good, it turned me away from eating people and into eating McDonald's Big Mac sandwiches.
Where can I find his docu-series?
It's on Hulu.
I haven't watched. Ooh, I'm going to watch that. Ooh, I'm going to have a snack, a healthy meal. I'm going to watch it.
His wife is not wasting time, boy. They got divorced in the wake of this whole thing. They got a couple of kids, so she's like, she's finally given her interviews or whatever. And she's like, well, I hope that his journey is fine.
Is he in jail? What's going on?
No. He hasn't been charged with anything, but all these.
He didn't like, eat anybody.
No.
He didn't actually do it.
Members
he
of
just
his,
turned on by the idea.
Yeah, members of his family, and they've come forward and said, you have to understand our family is effed up.
Yeah.
They're super rich, like generational wealth and things like that. He's just a rich, bored dude.
See, that's what it is. You want to have a normal family? Don't leave your family money when you die. You die in debt and you have normal children.
His paternal.
Oh, yeah. You guys are all really super normal.
Yes, I'm normal.
By the way, your therapist would say otherwise. Nevertheless, just teach your family how to handle money.
No. Owe everybody money when you die and you win. That's the rule.
It's the opposite of the old, whoever dies with the most toys wins from the 80s. But his wife, she's pretty. I think she's an actress or a model or something. She's got a new man already. Now, she's 40. So if you're going to have your House Stella got her groove back moment, she's doing it. She posted like a bunch of Polaroids with her and some guy. She's like, oh, we're having a great time, whatever. He's like, got the man bun and the whole thing. So Army Hammer is fully in the rearview mirror, but throw this guy into a McDonald's commercial. I'm Army Hammer for McDonald's. You might have heard. I like chowing on people.
Yep.
Now, I never did it.
But the next best thing.
But I'll tell you what I have done on numerous occasions. The McDouble. Yummy.
His paternal great-grandfather was a oil tycoon. Like, that's...
Yes, Armand Hammer is a very famous name. Like, they're crazy rich.
Wow.
That's the thing. He's just... That's why I don't
let
think,
him eat my arm or something.
That's like, why I never believe they're like, Army Hammer selling timeshares to make ends meet. No, he's not.
Unless he didn't get part of the trust fund.
He's in the islands. I think that's why it's not a big deal that he's not some huge movie star. Because he's like, I'm not doing this for the money.
Right.
By the way, the band Mac Sabbath, if you've never seen them, they're playing the Beachland next month. And I cannot. Have you ever seen Mac Sabbath?
Are they a McDonald's themed Black Sabbath cover band?
They are exactly that.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Do they give out French fries?
I don't recall
that. Did they give them out?
But the singer looks like Ronald McDonald. There's Grimace. The drummer is the Hamburglar. Yeah, and they play Black Sabbath songs.
That's awesome.
Alan, you like dark chocolate and crunchy peanut butter. What's your preference on orange juice?
Pulp. High pulp. Chunky. Let me chew it.
No, I like...
You like it pulpy?
Uh-huh.
I like low pulp.
High pulp. Baby.
609.
What? Let me chew it, baby?
I don't know yet.
There's a lot there. There's a lot there.
I don't like a lot of pulp.
Some pulp?
If it's some pulp, I won't balk. It doesn't need to be no pulp. But high pulp?
High pulp.
I don't get that.
Fresh from the tap. Just squeeze it straight into my face.
Well, then just eat an orange.
No, I want to drink an orange.
But then you still have to chew some of the orange.
No, you don't.
I don't like
pulp. Tiny little pieces. You're not going
to
chew it.
Now, I do like my milk to be high pulp.
Cottage cheese.
Is that bad?
Make it curdy.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing.
Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink, unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.